ಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಶ್ವಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಸದಸ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹರ್ಷಿಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕ್ಕೆ ಅನಂತಗುಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ನಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀನಿವಾಸ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಗೆ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾ ಕುಂಡಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಕೆ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಿಕೆ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮಿಕೆ ಮಧುರವಿಣಿ ಧಾಮಿಕೆ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಿಕೆ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಿಕೆ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕೆ ಯಮುನ ಮಾಯಿಕೆ ತುಳಸಿ ದೇವಿಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿಕೆ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ಗೌರವ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಅವ್ರ ಗೌರಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಸಂಬಂಧ ಗೌಡಿ ಸೋ ಗೌರಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಸಂಬಂಧ ಗೌಡಿ ಸೋ ಗೌರಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಸಂಬಂಧ ಗೌಡಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವಿನ ಗೌರಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಾಮಿ ಶುಭದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸಾಯ ಭೂಧರೇ ಶ್ರೀಮದೆ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾನಂದ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿ ದಿನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವದೇವಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ
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 ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನ ಸ್ಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಾಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರೋನ್ಮೀಲಾಮ್ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋವಿಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂಬಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗರದಾದಂ ಸಹನರನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾಂ ಸಹಗನ ಲಲಿತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೆ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೆ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಶ್ರೀ ವರ್ಷಭಾನವಿ ದೇವಿ ದೈದಾಯ ಕೃಪಾಬ್ಧಯೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂಬಂಧ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನ ದಾಯಿನೇ ಪ್ರಭವೇ ನಮಃ ಮಾಧುರ್ಯೋಜ್ಜಲ ಪ್ರೇಮಾದ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ರೂಪಾನುಗ ಭಕ್ತಿದ ಶ್ರೀ ಗೌರಕರುಣಾಶಕ್ತಿ ವಿಗ್ರಹಾಯ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮೂತಯೇ ದೀನಧಾರಿಣೆ ರೂಪಾನೂಪ ವಿರುದ್ಧಾಪ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ದ್ವಂದ್ವಹಾರಿಣೆ ನಮೋ ಗೌರಕಿಶೋರಾಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯ ಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ವಿಪ್ರಲಂಬರ ಸಾಂಬೋಧೇ ಪಾದಾಂಬುಜಾಯತೇ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿನೋದಾಯ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಗೌರಶಕ್ತಿ ಸ್ವರೂಪಾಯ ಗೃಹನು ಗೌರಾಯ ದೇ ಗೌರಾಭೂಮೇಷ್ಟಾಸ ಜನಪ್ರಿಯ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಸರ್ವಭೌಮ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಾಯ ದೇ ನಮಃ ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಭಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾಪದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯ ದೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರತ್ವಶೇ ನಮಃ ಪಂಚತತ್ವಾತ್ಮಕಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಭಕ್ತರೂಪ ಸ್ವರೂಪಕಂ ಭಕ್ತಾವತಾರಂ ಭಕ್ತಾಖ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಿಯಂ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗಲ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂದ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂದ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ತೇ ಜಯತಂ ಸುರ ಗೋಪಾಂಗೋರ್ಮಮ ಮಂದಮದರ್ಯದಿ ಮತ್ಸರ್ವಸ್ವದಾಂಬೋಜೌ ರಾಧಾ ಮದನ ಮೋಹನೌ ದೀರ್ಘಾರಣ್ಯಕಲ್ಪದ್ರುಮಾದ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ರತ್ನಾಕರ ಸಿಂಹಾಸನಸ್ಥೌ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ರಾಧಾಶೀಲ ಗೋವಿಂದ ದೇವೋ ಪ್ರಷ್ಟಾದಿ ಸೇವ್ಯಮಾನೌ ಸ್ಮರಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ರಾಸರಸಾರಂಭಿ ವಂಶೀಪಟತಟಸ್ಥಿತ ಕರ್ಷನ್ ವೇಣುಸ್ವನೇರ್ಗೋಭೇರ್ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ರೀಯೇಸ್ತು ನ ಸಪ್ತಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೇ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿ ಪ್ರಿಯೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिनां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रदिदां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धनामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीम् नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे कुलारविन्दाय तपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रगन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतां दधुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो नामो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दना वल्ससुदीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण महनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशवा पाराशर्यवजस्वरोजमलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोकैः सज्जनशल्पतैरहरः पेबीयमानम् मुदा भूयात् भारत पङ्कज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यल्कृपादमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैर्साङ्गपदैर्क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायब्धियम् समगाः ध्यानावस्थितदद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्दियम् योगिनो यस्यान्दम् न विदुसुरा असुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः
So, Krishna says, Devadvija Guru Prajnam, Pujanam Shaujam Arjavam, Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Shariram Tapakuchare, 14th verse. Then, Anudvegakaram Vakyam Satyam Prehidam Chayal, Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva, Vangmayam Tapakuchare. So, those were the two verses which we had discussed in the last few days, isn't it? So, we have seen one interesting thing Krishna mentioning there, that in that last verse, 15th verse, Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva, that means Anudvegakaram Vakyam. You see that? Anudvegakaram Vakyam Satyam Prehitam Chayal. Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapa Uchade. Have you seen that connection there? Connection is this. That we talked about the tapas. What are they? Anudvegakaram Vakyam. First thing, not to speak anything which will create Udvegam in others. Udvegam means anxiety in others. And always to speak satyam, priyam, hidam, three things. Satyam, priyam, hidam, chayal. This is what is expected from us. If that is not possible, then the solution for that is swadhyaya vyasanam chaiva. That is the solution for that. If we can't do that, that should be done. But this word power, vangmayam or tamasya, is a very special thing. It's not like the body, it's not like the mind. It's different. In the sense that words comes out from our mouth, isn't it? And it causes trouble for us later. So, what Krishna is saying here, if those things are not possible, anadvegagaram vakyam satyam brehidam chayam, if that's not possible, then the solution how to overcome that problem is swadhyaya abhyasanam chayva. Do swadhyayam, do abhyasanam. Then the urge for speaking will go through that. We all have an urge to speak, isn't it? The urge is there in everybody to speak. So the urge, Krishna says, if the urge is there, it should be under these conditions. Which one? Anindvagagaram vakyam satyam prayam hidam chayat. So, if that is not possible, if that urge is strong, then the best way is to control that urge is channel it for towards Krishna by swadhyayam and abhyasanam. That's the solution Krishna is saying here. Because this word is such a word, what we speak, it has got a habit. It has to speak something all the time, isn't it? You can see children also, if you observe the children, you will see they will start, when they start speaking, without any sense also, they will talk a lot of things. And when the vagindriyam, that means that power of speech, that sense on the tongue, which has got that vagindriyam on that, that means the sense that has got the power of speech, when it comes out, it makes noise. It makes noise. And this vagindriyam is a karmendriyam. It's not jnanindriyam. You know that difference, don't you? Jnanindriyam is the senses of knowledge. Karmendriyam is senses of action. So this vagindriyam is a sense of action. And when it gets disturbed, it will create vibrations, sound vibrations. So that habit which children have got. Children, if you observe carefully, you will see what all kinds of noises they make. And especially when they are tired, they will make all sorts of funny sounds. And similarly, this karmendriyam, even we are grown up, that nature, when children, what children have got, that is still there. Because it's a senses of action. Karmendriyam has got this habit. Then it cannot remain, you have to understand this properly, because if you look at your hands, legs, these are all karmendriyams. They are never 100% quiet, aren't they? Always on a move. Hands will move, legs will move. And this sense of speech also belongs to that group. You see? Senses of action they are. So that action, 100% it won't stop. It's always has got the slight vibration going on in the sense of speech. So, therefore, that swabhavam of the vagindriyam, of the sense, that will never go away. It will always be there. As soon as you get an opportunity, you will speak. Just like as soon as you get an opportunity, we move. If not, or we move our hands or legs in the same way. That's what Krishna is saying here. That's the important thing. So therefore, the answer, solution to the problem is, give some engagement for the vagindriyam, that sense of speech. Give some engagement for that. This you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the Nalagavera and Manigriva, after they were released from the body form, from the tree form, into the Gandharva's form, they mentioned this to Krishna. What do they say? Vani gunanu kathane shravanau. If you look at the 10th canto, 10th verse, 10th chapter, 38th verse. Vani gunanu kathaniye kathane shravanau kathayam hastauja karmasu manastava padayorna smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drishti sadam darshanestu bhavatanunam. That is the last verse in their prayers to Krishna. When they got Krishna pulled the mortar between the two trees, Arjuna trees, and pulled it so strong the two trees fell. And from there appeared these two personalities, Nalagavera and Manigriva. They are the sons of Kubera, the treasurer of the demigods, very wealthy person. And due to being offensive to Sri Narada Maharshi, Narada Maharshi cursed them, both of them, to become trees, stand there for 100 years as trees. And then you will get an opportunity to see Krishna and he will release you from that form of the tree. And that's how they became trees there in Vrindavanam, and they were waiting. And Krishna, during after the mortar he was tied onto, Damodara Leela, Krishna pulled that mortar between the two trees and they got released from that form, from that tree form, and they took this two forms of Nalagavera and Manigriva. And they have learned their lesson. 100 years they have to stand there in the sun, rain and all the cold weather, wind, everything, and they suffered heavily and they experienced that, their bodily discomfort, and they wanted to get released from that. So Krishna has released them, and in their prayers they are saying to Krishna, Vani gunanu kathane kathane shravanau kathayam hastauja karmasu manastava padayorna smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drishti sadam darshanestu bhavatanunam. That was their prayers to Krishna. So these things are there in the Bhagavatam to show to us that when devotees get into difficulties, how they understand from their realizations. They have told us that the Vagindriyam, if it has to engage in something, Gunanu Kathane Shravano Kathayam, always to talk about Krishna. Always to talk about Krishna. That way, this sense of speech won't give trouble. That's the escape route, not to give trouble. So, Bhagavatam is saying, Bhagavad Gita, as well as Bhagavatam also, that if you don't do any of these things, if you speak, mistakes will come. Something will happen. And without our knowledge itself, we will speak lies. Without our knowledge itself. First one, in two ways they say, the first one is that to protect ourselves. We will say something, we will change things and speak in a different way. And that is what they call it as anarjavam. Not arjavam. Anarjavam. That means we'll put a spin on everything and speak things in a way to escape of the situation. If you observe ourselves, you will see this happening in a natural way in us. Automatically it happens in us. And secondly, this urge inside to glorify ourselves, that's also there in everybody. It is there. And generally when we start speaking, we want to make sure that whatever we have spoken is putting us on a higher situation, isn't it? So why is it happening? Because we have ego inside. That will come in the form, this Vagindriyam, sense of speech, it immediately picks up and broadcasts it. This is the problem with this. If you give attention to that, if you observe yourself, you will see this happening, that as much as we are speaking, behind that, this chittavritti, abhimana vritti, it is called, and that abhimana vritti is also controlling our sense of speech. Abhimana vritti, abhimana means that pride inside us. That is control, that vritti, that chittavritti is controlling our speech also, from inside. So that is why in that Bhagavatam verse, when Ekadasha Skandam, when he said, Kayena vaja, manasendriyerva, budhyalpanava, prakrite swabhaval. Because my prakriti inside will dictate certain things, and according to that only I can work. I don't have any freedom. That my prakriti inside, whatever that I have accumulated inside my vasanas, my swabhavam, that will control all my actions, whether it is speech, whether it's physical actions, whatever it is. It will be controlled by that. Prakrite swabhaval. So Krishna is karomi yadjit sakalam parasmai narayana yadi samarpayami. It has to be channelized through Narayana, through Krishna. That way you can free yourself from this problem. So, in all these things, that means, in the bodily level, in the mental faculty, in our chittavritti, in the pride, all this that abhimana vritti, that means that pride, if it has gone away, if a pride has no place in any of these things, then what will happen is, in our vyavaharam in this world, we will completely break away from connections with the material nature. You see, that this is how it happens, that if the abhimanam or pride inside, we have a lot of things inside which we are not conscious of. So that pride is the one which is coming out through speech, which coming through, and it also will come out in these two forms. One, to tell things in such a way to project ourselves on a higher level than what we actually are not, what we are not. That attitude in life. And secondly, in order to protect ourselves, we will sometimes keep on changing things and speaking things in such a way to guarding yourself all the time. We are always guarding ourselves so that we don't get into problems. Is it not? We can't speak the truth everywhere, can we? If you speak the truth, you'll be in trouble. So you will guard yourself by covering up in a different way. That's one. Secondly, you will also have this nature. We all have that in our speech. Our ego projecting out in a very it comes out through our speech. Comes out, these two things. One, to protect ourselves. Secondly, abhimana vritti inside. Abhimana, the pride inside. That we don't want to look smaller in front of others. We want to project ourselves somewhat superior in everywhere. So, that will always be functioning inside. And that is what Krishna is saying here also. That this abhimanam, which is present in all over, in all places, and that means in our bodily level, in the mental level, in the intellectual level, in a physical level, or in all levels, if abhimana vritti, that means chitta vritti related to our pride, that's called abhimana vritti. If abhimana vritti completely is gone, then even in vyavaharam, our transactions in this world, prakriti sambarkam, that means connection with the material nature, will break. There won't be any, that means three modes of material nature won't be there in that. It's a very subtle thing. If you think about it, you will understand it. It's not such a big thing, but it is that, it's in our nature it is. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, what is keeping us in contact with the prakriti? Our pride. Abhimanam inside. Ego. That is what is keeping a connection with the prakriti all the time. If that, that is the subtle point in there. That's the most subtle thing. That if that abhimanam goes away completely, then prakriti has no influence in you. And you have no influence in the prakriti. You are totally independent then. At the moment we are connected with the world. Through what? Through the ego. Ego is a link between us and the prakriti. So the moment, that is the importance of this abhimanam going away. Why is it so important? Why Krishna keeps on hammering that on this point is, because it is through abhimanam or pride that we are connected, always in connection with the prakriti, material nature. So, Krishna is saying here, every time when we speak, behind that there is a motive. What is that motive? There must be some taste of that abhimanam, pride we are experiencing. And that is there in those words. There is no tapasya there. There is abhimanam there. What Krishna is saying here is tapasya, isn't it? Tapasya is not there in those words. What is in the words is actually abhimanam. That is not tapasya. So what do we have to do for that? For that, Krishna is saying here, instead of speaking the words to projecting our abhimanam or pride, you are surrendering those words to Krishna. That's how you escape from that. That's what these two devotees, Nalagavera and Manigriva, said. That constantly glorify Krishna. If you don't glorify Krishna, you'll glorify yourself. This is how it works. If you're not glorifying Krishna, you're always glorifying yourself. In some form, you will say some things which will always be trying to project the ego inside. Isn't it? So, Vagindriyam, the sense of speech, is meant for offering flowers to Krishna. Vakya Pushpanjali, they call it Pushpanjali. So, that means you've got to go a very long way. There's only two options left. First option is, Anudvegakaram Vakyam Satyam Prehitam Chayat, which is very demanding. That always he has to speak in such a way, Anudvegakaram Vakyam Satyam Priyam Hitam. If you have perfected that, then it's fine. If you don't doubt that, then the next option what you have got is the next line. Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva. That's Swadhyaya Abhyasanam. So, that means, never I'll speak about myself and I will not speak about others. I will not speak anything about others. I will not speak about myself. But that's why many, if you go and meet people who are little bit gone higher in spiritual life, if you go and visit them, what they will do, they will take Srimad Bhagavatam and start reading in front of you. And they'll turn the whole conversation, instead of discussing about family matters, social issues and all that, they will start reading from Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita and they will start the discussion that way, keep it like that. Never to bring a third person into it or another person into the conversation. They will avoid it. Many people are like that. They will do this. Initially you may find it a little bit difficult, but if you are serious about spiritual life, you will go along with it or you won't go after that anymore. That is the way they manage it. They handle it this way. They'll take Srimad Bhagavatam and start reading from somewhere, Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. And because they don't want to discuss other things, they don't want to discuss. And they are not people who can, they are finding it difficult otherwise, those people who are like that. That they are not reached that stage, there are some jnanis who have gone beyond than that, that they can sit without discussing anybody, about anyone, or about themselves, or about the world. About others, about the world, or about themselves. There are people like that. Ramana Maharshi used to be like that. He never discussed about anybody, with anyone. So, if that's not possible, the solution is to take Srimad Bhagavatam and start reading, or Bhagavad Gita. And if you do that, then it becomes satsangam. It becomes satsangam. And if that is possible, we should do that. Otherwise, if that is also not possible, the next one is to chant the holy name. To chant the holy name. If you start doing that, you won't get any more visitors then. They won't bother you. Too? So then, that's it. Then you don't have to worry. They won't even make a phone call. They won't bother you anymore. Swadhyayam, that is what Krishna is saying here. Swadhyayam Abhyasanam Chaiva. That's what he means by that. Swadhyayam Japam is all that. Swadhyayam Japam, all that. Just to chant Hare Krishna at that time. And Swadhyayam means morning to night chanting the holy name. Morning the holy name. So, here there is some opinion about some different Maharshis, they are saying that one day we breathe 21,600 times. That's the calculations in the yoga. So if you can chant that many times every day, that is perfection of life. 21,600 times. If you can chant that many times, that is also perfection of life. So, if you do that, then there is no time for anything else, is there? There's no time for anything else. That is the important thing. So this is also a lot of commitment. A lot of commitment in spiritual life. That means there won't be any abhimanavritti, chittavritti, or karma, or movement of the mind will not happen. And always remembrance of Krishna. Swadhyaya abhyasanam. That means that practicing it, always chanting. There are many people who do that, constantly chanting the holy name all the time. So, or reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is another thing. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, reading. Constantly reading, absorbing in Bhagavatam as many hours as possible. If you can't, because it is difficult sometimes in the beginning for those people also, for many people to chant all the time. that may be a little bit difficult. So, but you can read Bhagavatam for quite a few hours in a day. People do like that, isn't it? So then the important difficult thing is that we have to know the language to read Bhagavatam. And another thing is that we have to read it properly. Read it properly. So, if we read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi will get up and walk away. He'll get confused. Because we can only do what qualification we have got, isn't it? That's all we can do. What can we do if we don't have the qualifications? So, and Vedavyasa Maharshi was used to so many heavy words in the Bhagavatam, in many, many places, which you can't even bite it. It won't break, such words. So, and then he's telling us to read them. He's telling us to read them. So, the way I know it, I'll read it. The way I know it, you have to read it, the verses, isn't it? So, he wrote it independently. He wrote that independently. And I'm also reading it independently. He wrote that book independently, Srimad Bhagavatam, and I'm reading it independently. So, here, Vedavyasa Maharshi made a concession to us. This is only in the case of Bhagavatam. Not even in Bhagavad Gita. Only in the case of Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi has given us a concession. That is why we should read Bhagavatam, even if there is mistake, what we are reading. Because if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see in the first canto, he says there, Yadva visargo janadaga samplavo yasmin pradishlogam abhaddavatyavi namanyanandani Yashoda Ishongidani and Shrinwandi Gayandi Granandi Sadhava. That is that word. That is the concession verse for us. 1511. Yadwar Visargo Janadaga Viplavo Yasmin Pradishloga Mabadhavatyavi Namanyanandasya Ishongidani Yel Shrinwandi Gayandi Granandi Sadhava. That verse is saying to us that Yadva Visargo Janadaga Viplavam. When Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, he is saying there may be mistakes in many, many. Yasmin Pratishlogam Abhadavatyavi. In each verse there could be mistakes. Prabhupada also mentions that if you look into Prabhupada's introduction, can I have a look at that? Prabhupada says here, that is the truth, because there is mistake in what he has, Yasmin pradishlokam avadhyamatyabhi nama nyanandasya shongidaniyal shrinandi gayandi ghanandi sathava. He said, there could be mistakes in this book, Prabhupada says here. Yeah, that's the same words Prabhupada used at the end of the preface. He says, see that 1511, at the end of the preface he says, Tadvad visargo janadaga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abandhavatyavi naman anandasya shongitaniyal shunnandi gayandi ghanandi sathva. On the other hand, that literature, which is full with the description of the transcendental glories, of the name, fame, form and pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord, is a transcendental creation meant to bring about a revolution in the impious life of a misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literature, even though irregularly composed, are heard, sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So, if we read Bhagavatam, and if there is mistake in that, it does not matter. That is, that verse is giving us that concession. Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying, read it. Even if there is mistake, it doesn't matter. Because your motive is higher. Motive is good. The motive is good, even if there is mistake happens while reading it, it does not matter. So, that concession Vedavyasa has given us there, that does not mean that this is not there in the Bhagavad Gita. This is not in Brahma Sutra. This is not in any other Puranam except in the Bhagavatam. A verse like that. Yasmin pratishlogam abhadhavatyabhi. That in every verse you can find fault in there. Suppose somebody is very, very learned and he has a knowledge of the grammar of Sanskrit and also the rules regarding the compilation of the verses. There's so many rules associated with that. We won't know that. But those who know, they may find fault with that. Doesn't matter. Why? Yashongida Shrunandi Gayandi Granandi Sathava. Ismin Pratishloka Mabadhavatyavi Namani Anandasya Yashongidaniyam. That is the important one. That every word in the Bhagavadam is Krishna. It is Krishna's representation, that word is. Namani Anandasya. Many thousands and millions of names Krishna has got. And all the words, all those words in the Bhagavadam is glorifying Yashongiyaniyal of Krishna's glories. Therefore, it cannot go wrong. Because it's related to Krishna. Therefore, it cannot go wrong. So, Shunandi Gayandi Ganandi Sathava. So, similarly, this holy name of Krishna also, if it is there, anyone will appreciate that. If you chant the holy name or read these verses in the Bhagavadam. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavadam, anybody can read without any fear about the mistakes we may commit or anything like that. We shouldn't worry about it. So, even if you read it, that also Krishna says here, then sometimes it's difficult. How long can you read? Isn't it? Our conditioning is like that. We don't have that. So sometimes we have to read, sometimes we have to chant. So everywhere Krishna's holy name is present in everything. That is why Swadhyayam also refers to chanting the holy name. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita, Yajnanam Japayat Yosmi. Is it not? Yajnanam Japayat Yosmi. Shabda Brahma. That is what it is. So, in the Prakriti, in the material nature, if you look into the nature itself, all living entities do this same kind of upasana, the same kind of service. For example, if you look at the birds, the parrots or the other birds also, all of them, birds make a similar noise, isn't it? Parrots make one kind of noise. The other birds also, they make their own different kinds of noises. And that is the same noise they make every day, a similar noise. It's not different, isn't it? Similarly, you can observe, if you look, sometimes these parrots, they'll make some funny noise and they will fly like a rocket from the neck, from the cage, or from its nest. It will fly off like that from the tree, isn't it? Therefore, when they fly, they have feeling so much ecstasy in that while flying away like that. So, all the things in the material nature and Prakriti, they all make different noises, isn't it? And that voice is particular with that particular species. And for human species like us, there is a sound, and that sound need not be related with any particular meaning. Not to particular meaning. So, when you chant anything with a meaning behind it, then it becomes a mantra. Then it becomes a mantra. Whereas if it is only sound, then artham is not important. Shabdam is sufficient. Shabdam is more important than the artham. Artham means the meaning. Ashabdam is the sound. So, shabdam is sufficient. Artham is not important. Because prior to artham, shabdam comes. It is from shabdam artham comes, not from artham shabdam comes, isn't it? A sound comes out and then we give the mean interpretation to that. So many sound we are enjoying in this world, not knowing its meaning. We don't know the meaning of it, isn't it? For example, Krishna played the flute, Venuganam. When they played the flute, all the gopis came running there. And if you ask what is the meaning of that, flute, playing the flute, what can you say? Krishna played some ragam or shruti in that flute. And some people are like that. They want to know the meaning of everything. What is the meaning of Krishna's playing flute? They will ask that question. Shuga Brahmarshi says in the Bhagavatam, he calls it as kalam. Kalam. So, jagau kalam vamadrisham manoharam in the 10th canto. That is how he explains that. Jagau kalam vamadrisham manoharam. Kalam means very sweet sound. It has no meaning. It has no meaning. And it is a universal language, this kalam, in the sense that, for example, say I make a sound and the meaning is only in my language. Is it not? When it comes to meaning, immediately it is broken into language. But when it is sound, it is universal. In all languages you can speak, the sound is same. There is no difference in the sound, but the sound gets changed into the meaning. Meaning comes when it turns into language. When it comes, suppose I say something, in Malayalam for example, if I say something, it will only make sense to me. That sound makes some meaning. So that means the meaning is only due to the language. But sound remains unaffected by the meaning. The sound is for you, for me, for everybody, it's the same. Whichever language I have spoken, the sound is the same. Is it not? So, same thing with music also. If you, for example, if you take that for music is concerned, there is no language limit. There is no limitation on the language. For example, Tyagaraja's many, many compositions, they are in Sanskrit. So many people who have no idea of Sanskrit, they relish it. They relish it. Why? Because the sound is that is capturing them, not the meaning. Not the meaning. So, Ragam, Shabdam, because it's there. That is why they say, Pashurveti, Shishurveti, Veti, Ganaranam, Fani. Cow understand, the baby understand, and the snake also understand the sound. The sound can all understand because kalam tu madharam aspude. That means kalam means, that's the word Shuka Brahmarshi has used in the Bhagavadam. He says there that the spudham, or the meaning, artham, they can't find that. All they can say is that the sweetness of the sound. Just like this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. How did it come up like this, the way it is today? Shuka Brahmarshi explains in the Bhagavadam. What happened was, in the early hours in the morning, after Krishna's appearance, gopis were very attached to seeing Krishna all the time. So, as time went on, during the Krishna's Balalila, childhood pastimes, gopis started calling Rama and Krishna. It has become their habit. And even in the early hours in the morning when they were churning the yogurt for butter, boiling the milk and doing various household work at home, they were always calling Rama, Krishna, in that way it started. These sound vibrations from the gopis, because they were so pure in their speech, it has even reached the vibration. Everything what we speak, the vibrations goes all over the creation. It never stops. It keeps on going. And it went up right up to Brahmalokam, Brahma's planet. Lord Brahma heard these words, Rama and Krishna being called like this by the gopis. Brahma could hear that in the Satyalokam. He told Saraswati, his secretary, to write it down and set it up properly in a proper word format. And when the sun came there, Narada Maharshi came to visit Brahma. And Brahma set it up in such a way and told Sri Narada Maharshi that you chant these names, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. This was given to Sri Narada Maharshi by Lord Brahma, and that is become the Kali Santarana Upanishad. And this is how Hare Krishna Mahamantra was born. This originally started, the gopis are the personalities who have, they were addressing Krishna and Ramachandra, Krishna and Rama all the time, Rama all the time. Rama Krishna, Rama Krishna. It is in the Bhagavadam, but it is spoken in a very subtle way. Udgaya dinam aravinda lochanam. If you look into the verse in the Bhagavadam, in the 10th canto, you will see there how, in the 10th canto, I think it's in the 46th or 47th chapter. This is that verse which is actually representing the gopis chanting. Yeah, it is the 46th, 10, 46. Udgaya dinam aravinda lochanam व्रजांगनानां दिवमस्पृशध्वनि दध्नश्च निर्मन्धन शब्दमिश्रितो निरस्यते येन दिशा ममंगलम्. दिस इज दैट वर्स. मेनी भागवत स्कॉलर्स mentions that this verse is actually nothing but talking about gopis calling Krishna and Balaram. Udgayadinam aravinda lochanam vrajangananam devamas prashadvani. That in the morning the gopis devamas prashadvani, their dhvani, what was coming from their throat, dadhnascha, it got mixed up with the narmandhana shabdhamishrito. The sound they could hear in Vrajam, in Gokulam was gopis churning the yogurt for butter and various household work chores they were doing at home. Along with that, they were absorbed in Krishna. They wanted to go and see Krishna and Balaram at Nanda Maharaj's house. And before going that, they were absorbed in this. They had nothing else to discuss or talk about anything except remembering Krishna all the time. Not done in a forceful way, like we have to do with effort, isn't it? They did not do that. That is why this beauty of Bhagavatam is that normally they were in the lowest of the tamogunam in them, those personalities, gopis. From there, Krishna has lifted them up to such high levels of spiritual life. Even where great rishis cannot get that stage, to that stage Krishna has elevated them. So, vrajangananam devamas prishadvani dadhnascha nirmandhana shabdam ishrito. All this sound is mixed up. Churning, the sound of calling, and they were singing songs about Krishna and Balaram in various things. And they used to write songs about Krishna and Balaram and take it to Yashoda Devi. Yashoda Devi used to set it up properly and sing on her own. She was a great singer, apparently, Yashoda Devi. So, the dhanascha narmandana shabdamishrido nirasyade yena dishama mangalam. This was the good fortune of the vrajam. At that time, how they lived, so simple and so pure their life was. So, it is from that verse, they say that the Hare Krishna Mahamantram was born. The gopis are the originators of this mantram. And that only thing was Saraswati Devi set it up in this pattern. Hare Krishna, what we chant now. That Saraswati Devi set it up and then it was put as Upanishad, that Kalisandaran Upanishad, and Brahma taught that to Srinarada Maharshi and then it came as a authorized Upanishad like that. But originators of this mantra is actually gopis. From gopis it's come. Kalam. Kalam, that is Jago Kalam Vamadrisham Manoharam. Shukha Brahmarshi says, Jago Kalam Vamadrisham Manoharam. Sukadeva Goswami's words on that. So, Kalam means only one thing, it is very sweet. Spudam. It is very sweet. You can't look for the meaning for that word, Kalam. But it's very sweet. So, chanting the holy name is like that. You don't have to worry about the meaning of what I am chanting. When you are chanting Hare Krishna, you don't have to worry about the meaning of that, what exactly it means. If you can just make that sound vibration, that is more than enough. That same sound you can see in the four levels, Parapashandi, Madhyama, Vaikari, isn't it? 4 feet, they say. So, initially, we speak in gross way, sthulam. Then, and through the lips, bring it out, isn't it? And it is in the mind as well, when we are chanting. It is in the mind as well. And the sound in the mind, it goes further as Pashyandi, Madhyama and Para, in gross way, it goes like that, isn't it? And those who have chanted this holy name for a long time, period of time, and they become perfection in that, they enter into a silenced stage finally. And that's called Mahamaunam. Mahamaunam means perfect silence. What does that mean? From that perfect silence, whatever they speak, in that perfect silence, when they come back from to speak, that become again Vaikari and it comes out, and in that sound what they speak, there will be that taste of that Mahamaunam, of that silence. That means they have realized this holy name, chanted the holy name for a long period of time, and they have realized it. They have become perfect in that. What they call it as japam. Japam turns into perfection. Siddhi. It becomes a siddhi. So when they speak, they reach the state of Mahamaunam. Mahamaunam means that they have reached perfection inside. Realization has happened. Due to that when they speak, their vaikari, when it comes out from them, it will have a taste of that Mahamaunam. Mahamaunam means that supreme silence that they are experiencing inside. What it means in reality is, when they speak, there is no chittavritti inside. Without chittavritti, they can speak. When they speak, at that stage, there is no more chittavritti inside. So, this is the reason, when great personalities speak, if you have noticed, they also use the same words and the same sound what we are using. But there is something in their words different than us, isn't it? When we speak, it doesn't have the effect. But when they speak, it has an effect on us. What is the reason? The words are the same. What they use are the same words what we are using. And equally, and the sound they are making is exactly the same thing. But when they speak, it has an effect on others. When we speak, the same effect doesn't happen. That is what Krishna is talking about here. See the result of that? That they have realized it. We have not realized it. Something in them, that there is no chittavritti that is influencing the words that's coming out from them. Whereas when we speak, all our vasanas, all our chittavritti is all in the words when it comes out. When they speak, because they have perfected it inside by chanting the holy name, when they speak, there is no chittavritti influencing their words when it comes out. That is what that sweetness of that Mahamaunam. This is how you understand that realization. Like you can see when Prabhupada was speaking, many things were not even clear because of the strong accent and due to age also. It happens, isn't it? It's not very clear when you speak. And I was thinking how people are able to follow this initially. I'm talking 74, 75 period years. First time when Prabhupada was, lectures were coming from America. I was struggling to understand because I myself was finding it difficult. But there is something in that sound which is due to that realization inside of that holy name, that it has an effect on everybody. It has an effect on everyone who have heard that. So this hearing thing is not due to the sound what he has made. It is that realization that's coming through the sound. Realization that's coming through the sound. That's one something very important to notice. Many, many Mahalpas, if you happen to visit anybody, you will see they are speaking. They are using the same words what we are using. And the same sound. Sometimes when they speak, even it's not even clear. But those who are hearing, they are affected by that. And that is that Mahamaunam, the realization of that. And that they call it in Shastram, Chidrasam. Chidrasam means that the sound that's coming is from Chit Shakti. It's Chit Shakti that it is coming from. So, chanting the holy name is like that. If you chant regularly, if you chant and make it a habit all the time to chant, this chanting eventually will take us to that stage. You have to keep practicing it without worrying about what it means and whether your mind is properly situated or not. It does not matter. If you keep on chanting, it will have its, this effect will happen to us. So, little by little, slowly, to take us into that state of Chit Shakti operating through our words, rather than our mind operating through words. You see, in them, those people, personalities, great souls, like Prabhupada's case, the mind is not functioning anymore. It's not the mind dictating anything. It is the Chitshakti that's coming through the holy name, Chitshakti that's coming through the words. And therefore, it is not tinged with any vasanas or anything. There is no Chittavritti behind it. It is just happening. So that is what Krishna is using, that word, Swadhyaya Abhyasanam. See that word? That's what it means. Swadhyaya Abhyasanam. Swadhyaya Abhyasanam means all this. Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tava Uchyare. That is the importance of this word. That if we chant the holy name all the time, and if we become that habit develops, it may take a long time to come to that state. Obviously, Prabhupada has been chanting, I don't know how, and plus Krishna's grace, of course, behind it, that it makes that person, whatever he says from then on, it will have no vasanas in there, no chittam in there, no, it is the chitshakti that is actually flowing through that sound. That means his vagindriyam, the sense of speech, is completely controlled by the chitshakti rather than the mind. Whereas when we speak, all what we speak, it's all mixed with our vasanas in that sound, it will flow through. Whereas for them, it doesn't happen anymore. That is over for them. That is what that difference is. Even if it is unheard, it's not very perfect while listening to it, or even if it's not very sweet, still the sound will have its effect on people who listen to it. So that is the Swadhyaya Abhyasanam. So, initially, continuously to chant and do it as a, even if it has to do it as a work, you have to do it. Because you have to decide yourself how much you can chant every day and do that. But make it as a fixed vow to do it every day. So, at least at that time you won't speak anything else, isn't it? So, here, concentration of the mind and everything is not necessary. That's a misunderstanding. That, oh, I cannot concentrate, I cannot focus and all that. It's not important. Because, even if you may not have the faith in that, but still, I'm going to chant, and that's what the Shastram is telling me, I'm doing that, if you do that. Mind may or may not stay with you. Mind may or may not stay with you. Or let the mind go where it wants to go. Or you may have to still the mind every time while chanting. You go whichever way you want to go. Carry on with your circuit, wherever you want to go. Do all that and come back later. And till then, you say to the mind, I don't have anything to do with you. You can do what you like. If you chant like that, after a while what will happen is, the mind will come and join you. It will do that for some time, but in due course of time, it will come back. Mind will realize that you're not going any more help for the mind to do what, to go along with it. So mind will eventually surrender and come back to you. But even when the mind comes back like that with us, you should not believe the mind. You should not, even when he mind comes back and joins you, you should not believe them, because he will join now. The next moment he will take you with him. Somewhere else, isn't it? So you can see that of every time in our own life, if you look at it, you will see there. So what it will do is that it will tell you, oh, I'll come with you for Bhagavadam, to hear Bhagavadam. And after Bhagavadam, it will take you to the cinema. It will say, let's go for the cinema. This is the mind. Mind is like that. The nature of the mind, I'm saying, it's like that. It never trusts the mind. That's the very nature of the mind. So mind is like that, never to trust the mind. If it joins us, let it join. If it wants to go, let it go. This is the approach with the mind. This is important. These are all simple things, but if you take notice of this and if you chant, you will see it happens. It happens. After some time, if you continuously chant for years and years, you will notice at the right time you will get up. And you will sit down in some place wherever you used to. And you will chant. And you won't bother about this thing called mind. Because that has become your own actions. Vagindriyam has trained that way. It will happen like that. So therefore, only thing is you have to make this determined effort that this nishtha, it's called a nishtha. Nishtha, I will keep it up, I will not move away from there. That is what Bhagavatam, if you look into the 11th canto, Krishna mentions this. If you look in the 11th canto, in the second chapter, there is a verse there where he mentions this. He says, I think it is in the second chapter, yeah. The verse number is 40. Yeah. 11.240. Evam vrata sapriya nama kirtya jada anurago dudachitta mucchaihi hasatyado rodidi raudi gayan unmadavan nartya diloga bahya. Evam vrata sapriya nama kirtya vratam. Vrata means you have one who has taken that vow. That is Vratam. So Priyanama Kirtya Jadanirago Drudachittamuchaihi. That so Priyanama Kirtya. Chanting that holy name, what is very dear to you. Doesn't matter. We chant Hare Krishna, others may chant Govinda, somebody else may say Damodar. Doesn't matter. All holy names have got its own potency. But Evam Vrata so Priyanama Kirtya Jadanirago Drudachittamuchaihi. That in a natural way, anuragam comes, an attachment to that holy name, never to give it up again. It will become your part and parcel. Wherever you go, whenever you find time, whenever you are feeling a little bit on your own, you will naturally chant the holy name. Jada anurago dhuta chitta muchaihi. And when you are feeling disturbed, you will chant loudly. Or in a difficult conditions, experiencing some distress in life, you will chant loudly the holy name. So, it has become your close associate more than anything else. Which one? The holy name. That is what is expected. Jadanirago drudachittamuchaihi. Then, hasatyadorodidi raudi gayan. Sometimes you may feel some things, emotions, and you may laugh. Sometimes you will cry. Hasatyadorodidi raudi gayan. Unmadavan nartyadiloga bahya. Sometimes, out of madness you may dance. Chanting the holy. These are advanced stages of a devotee. But what Krishna is saying to us is, this Swadhyaya Abhyasanam is this, what he is saying. That continuously chanting the holy name, irrespective of what the mind does or does not do, without caring for the mind, completely taking to the shelter of the holy name and practicing it regularly, without any break. Without any break. So, in little by little, Krishna is saying there, it become anuragam attached to that holy name and it will happen inside the, in our own heart. So, therefore, chanting the holy name is swadhyayam. Chanting the holy name is dinam dinam anushtanam. So, similarly, reading Bhagavad Gita Srimal Bhagavadam is also swadhyayam. Is also swadhyayam. That means, doing it every day, not once in a way. Every day. Reading Bhagavad Gita, reading Srimad Bhagavatam is all swadhyayam. Now, what is the difference? That means like you are chanting the holy name in the same way with nishtha, that steadiness. That is what is important, that steadiness in doing. Certain things you have to make your own decision according to your own time, available time and your own situation. You have to find that time and fix yourself. Every day I will read a couple of chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Or a couple of chapters of Bhagavatam, or and chant the holy name so many times, these things. So, just like we mentioned before, deity worship, isn't it? The deity worship, that is a Krishna, shariram tapa uchyade, he said. Sharira tapasa. So that is sharirika tapasa. This is vangmaya tapasa. Which one? Chanting the holy name, and also reading Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam is Vangmaya Tapasya. So, you have to include all this in your life schedule, daily schedule. You have to include this. Like Shaririya Tapasya, only then you are living like a devotee. Otherwise not. Otherwise not. Running around all over the world is no solution to the problem. Problem is that Krishna is expecting us to systematically do it in a way that to regulate the life in such a way that every day we have this in our daily program. That has to happen. And that has got the priority over everything else. Other things are all secondary. So similarly, many people do is, they have deity worship at home, Deva Puja, what Krishna mentions there, Deva Puja, which is in the 14th verse, Sharira Torasa. Then after that, they come to this one. They will take Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam and read one or two chapters on a regular basis. Some people read many more chapters. Few hours they read. Every single day. Irrespective of whatever happens at home. And therefore they get up early. They do these things early before other things. Everybody else wakes up in the family and becomes very... Vyavaharam starts. So Deva Puja and similarly reading. So either Bhagavad Gita a couple of chapters or Bhagavadam a couple of chapters. Therefore that is Nityanushtanam. It becomes Nityanushtanam. So, and Krishna is saying here, 1 or 2 hours if it goes like that, it has to be happen. Abhyasanam, Swadhyaya Abhyasanam. Swadhyayam Abhyasanam. That is how you have to break that word. Swadhyayam Abhyasanam. So, Swadhyaya means reading all these things. Abhyasana means chanting the holy name, practicing it, isn't it? So, because this is both are included in the Vangmaya Tapa Uchyate, Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Swadhyayam Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapa Uchyate. So, another meaning of this Swadhyayam is that you are studying about yourself. About yourself. And what does it mean? Studying yourself means you yourself standing away from your own mind and looking at yourself. Looking at your own chittam. Looking at your own chittam. So at that time you can see what all things are coming in. What is going out from inside. From our chittam. So that is why you can see when you are chanting the holy name, you can see your vasanas coming out. Is it not? How different thought waves coming at that time. You can independently move away from your own mind and observe your mind, how it's reacting within yourself. So it is one of the ways to know our own subtle vasanas, what's operating within. So, so there are ways that how to free from those vasanas. So, therefore Krishna says, Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chaiva Vangmayam Tapa Uchyate. So, Ramayanam, Bhagavad Gita, Srimal Bhagavadam, reading all that. Now, we'll get into more. Then, to study them well. Now, here, reading and Parayanam, they are two different things. You know what that difference is. When we see, we won't say, oh, I read Bhagavad Gita, or I read Bhagavadam. Reading is with the mind. Parayanam, I don't know what the English word for that. That's what the normal word used is. Gita Parayanam or Bhagavata Parayanam.
Recitation?
No. It doesn't carry the meaning. In Parayanam, what is happens is, mind is not working. Just like when you're chanting the holy name, you told the mind to go away and you're chanting. The sound vibration is coming. Similarly, when you read Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, without putting your mind into it and analyzing it, everything, then it becomes reading. It's not Parayanam. Parayanam is you are just reading those verses. That sound vibration of the verses alone is powerful enough to bring that change what's necessary inside. It will stop our chittavrittis inside popping up. So, here, that is reading, because you are focusing with your mind seriously while reading it, isn't it? With full concentration you are reading, and you are thinking, what have I missed out? Anything. And then you start analyzing inside, isn't it? And you won't know anything if anything happens else outside, because you are so focused while reading. That is reading. And you are doing this consciously, by involving the mind into it. That is reading. In Parayanam, that is not there. That is not there. There is no mind in that. That we have to practice ourselves. For example, I took the Bhagavadam and I'll start reading. I'll start, Parayanam starts means, I'm not able to follow through every letter, words in there, or every word in that, and remembering all the meaning of the words, and the background of the words, the explanation of the words, nothing. I'm just going by that sound vibration only. That is Parayanam. And it is Parayanam what is done with Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and all that. Not the reading. Reading is with the mind. You need the mind to read something. Is it not? And when the, what does the mind do? Mind analyzes things and 100 questions it will give it to you. And you will sit there and you will start thinking, oh, this is not clear, that's not clear. And you will get confused. And then you will give it up after a while. That's because of reading. Parayanam is not like that. Thousands and thousands of people read every day Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. They perform, they do Parayanam. They don't understand the meaning. Many, many people read so many books, Narayaniyam, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Do you think they understood everything and they are reading it? No, they are reading it. Why? To get that steadiness in that reading. That's all what is required, to get that steadiness. Best example, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Srirangam, one Brahmana was reading Bhagavad Gita. He did not understand anything. That is Parayanam. He did not understand anything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him crying. And Mahaprabhu asked this Brahmana, why you are crying? He says, I don't understand anything, but I know why Krishna was doing such a noble service to Arjuna, driving his chariot. How kind he is, I was thinking. So other thoughts were going through his mind. But he was not involving his mind in the reading, but he was reading Bhagavad Gita. He was reading it. That is Parayana. That's the difference. Without involving the mind, going through the words, because every single word, Prabhupada also says this in the Bhagavadam, is Krishna. Srimal Bhagavadakyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. Due to our impurity, we don't realize it, Bhagavadam's greatness. We are thinking it's just like another book. It's not another book. It is Krishna himself. That's the important point. So, all this is, Krishna is saying here, that the Parayanam means all these things don't exist. And mind is not necessary. And in, for example, if you go to big people, when they have Bhagavadam lectures in famous temples and all that, maybe last for 7 days, sometimes 12 days, sometimes 15 days, sometimes 41 days, depending on how much time they have decided to spend together. So, in these instances, there is not enough time to read and understand everything. The person who is reading, he'll be just reading so fast through the verses. And his responsibility is only to read. And he won't even know, he will read without mistakes, but at the same time, he won't even know the whole meaning of what he has read. Because it's not possible to read Bhagavadam and to understand while reading. The subject is too big to digest. Here and there some stories you can understand, but all the philosophy what Krishna has put it through Bhagavadam, and Sukadeva Goswami has spoken to the subtleties and all that, it will never come to your mind while reading it. Is it not? So, but still they read. They give importance to that. Read Parayanam, important. So you get an opportunity in 7 days' time to hear the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why you go for these programs, Saptaham and all that. You get an opportunity. All you have to do is to sit there. In 7 days, you get one chance to read through the whole 7 days. You wrote through the whole 18,000 verses. You heard once. And there are people who continuously listening like this, one after the other, one after the other, whole lifetime they spend in this way, constantly hearing Bhagavatam. Why? They know that. They may not know the whole subtle side of Bhagavatam. That's not possible. That is Krishna's grace if he reveals to you. But simply hearing the sound, vibration of the Bhagavatam verses, that becomes a your own much later. So in this situation, what is happening is, little by little, if you have heard Bhagavatam like this for a long period of time, that it will start trickling in inside. It will start trickling in. Not, you are not absorbing it consciously. That's not what it is happening. But it is happening very slowly. That is what Krishna is referring here as Swadhyaya Abhyasanam. He is referring to that. Not that, don't mistake it with studying the book. You know, people misunderstand that way. Many people think that, oh, I have spent a couple of hours trying to understand this chapter of the Bhagavatam. That is not the process. Process is that you read every day, and if you keep on reading a long time, many years, if you continuously read Bhagavatam, you will see while reading, you are getting certain revelations from inside. Amazing revelations come for different people in the Srimad Bhagavatam who are reading the Bhagavatam for a long period of time. It is not due to their technical knowledge or the knowledge of the language they get it. It's due to this Swadhyaya Abhyasanam. That's what they have done. Swadhyaya Abhyasanam. I know some people who have, before they started speaking Bhagavatam to the world outside, every day, 6 to 8 hours, for 10, 20 years, they were reading Bhagavatam. And when they started, preaching is another thing. That's not the important thing. One thing is that that they came out later. But prior to doing that, for many, many years in their life, the only thing they did was this Swadhyaya Abhyasanam. Simply reading Bhagavatam day in and day out. But those days it was difficult to get hold of a book, because printing was very scarce then, isn't it? And they struggled very hard to get books. And with that book, they held on to that. That was their only asset. They closely held on to themselves. Because if you lost it, they couldn't get another copy. There was not printing. Only Gorakhpur Press was printing. Gorakhpur that press was printing. But to get that copy was very difficult. Those days it was so different. Now there is plenty of books, but there's no time to read. This is the world what we are living to. Plenty of copies. 2 volumes, 4 volumes, 6 volumes, all different volumes are printed. Colored pictures, everything we have got. Fantastic books, first class quality paper. But there's no time. Nobody has time to read now anymore. This is the opposite side of that. So, all this is, Krishna is calling it as Swadhyaya Abhyasanam Chayo Vangmayam Tava Uchade. These are all tapasya with the words. Tapasya with the words. So, if we chant the holy name, that is Vangmaya Tapasya. This Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with Bhagavatam in this way, or Bhagavad Gita, that is Vangmaya Tapasya. And that is why Vangmaya Tapasya. So, that is the power of this Shastram. This Shastram is not like any other Shastram, isn't it? The power of potency of Shastram, because we are not able to get it out from that. That is our weakness. But like letter, Ra, Ma, these two words carry everything. And it is glorified to such an extent, the letter Rama, in the Puranams, isn't it? Similarly, the word Shiva, how much it is glorified in the Bhagavad itself. Who says this? Sri Parvati says this. When does she say this? She says this to Daksha. Remember that? In the Bhagavatam, the letter, two letter word, do you know the meaning? She says to him, that's what she asked him. She says, to Yadvaksharam Namagiriridam Nanam. That is that verse. Sri Parvati says to him, do you understand, she says, the potency of these two words, these two letters, Shiva. Do you understand the meaning, the potency of that? He didn't ask the meaning. Do you understand the potency of that letter? So she understands. So she could say that to him. Isn't it? To Daksha, you will see that in the fourth canto. And there it is. Yadvaksharam nama giriridam ranam. That is the first verse there. Pavitra kirtim tamalangya shasanam mahanaho dveshti shivam shivedara. That is that verse. Let's see for it. Yeah. Yeah. If you look into the 4:4:14, that's that verse. Yadvaksharam nama giriridam ranam sagral prasangad akhamashu handital pavitra girtim tamalangya shasanam Bhavanaho dveshti shivam shivedara. Very, very powerful verse that is. She says to him, yadvaksharam, these two letters, she, va, namagireri damranam. Do you understand that letters, she's saying? Sagral prasangal akhamashuhandidal. Once if it's recited properly, all your sinful reactions are wiped out. That powerful they are. Pavitragirtim tam alangya shasanam. And the person who carries those two letters, by that letters, that person, his kirti, his glory, he cannot speak about that. It is beyond our capacity to glorify him. Tam alangya shasanam. And you are trying to block his injunctions. Tam alankhya shasanam. And if he decides something, talking to referring to Shiva, if he decides something, nobody can go against it. Because it is under his order, all the destruction happens. Isn't it? Nobody can stop it. Tam alankhya shasanam. And that personality, he says, bhavanaho, how foolish you are. Dveshti, you have created enmity towards him. And dvesham, hate towards him. Shivam shivedara. That words, power of those words is Shiva. So, like this, everything in the Bhagavadam is representing Krishna, representing Krishna in some form, either as Shiva, or as Vishnu, or as Brahma, or as any great personalities, like Akrura, Uddhava. They are all representation of this Krishna's different potencies in there. So, that is why it says, and that is Vangmaya Tapas. Vangmaya Tapas. That means, through words, the power of speech, you are absorbing in Krishna. Absorbing in Krishna. Then after that, Krishna is going to now talk about the manasa tapasya. So Krishna has spoken about shaririga tapasya. Now vangmaya tapasya. Next one is manasika tapasya. Isn't it? So, other Mahatmas who have commented on the Bhagavatam, they also mentions this, that vangmaya tapasya means not to speak bad about anybody. Not to speak bad about anybody. And of course these things Krishna is referring there also. Anudvegakaram vakyam. That is what is also. And not to speak unnecessary things. And not to read books. Unnecessary books. If one can avoid all that, that is also tapasya. Because what they do is, they create chitavritti inside. That's the problem. That's the problem. So, vangmayam tapavuchyate. And, next one, this vangmaya tapasya is more subtle than shaririga tapasya. Yeah? 15, verse 15 is more subtle than verse 14. Now, verse 16 is more subtle than verse 15. That's the way it is, it is set it up. 14, 15, 16. Shariram, vaka, manasa. So, vaka is more subtle than the shariram, and manasa is more subtle than the vaka, word. So, and that is the most subtle tapasya. Shaririya tapasya is gross tapasya, is it not? It's most gross form of tapasya. Why? Body is involved in that. If you look at that, Devam, Dvijam, Guru, Prajnam, Pujanam, Shaujam, Arjavam, Brahmacharyam, Ahimsa. All these are the Shaririga Tapasya. That is more gross than the other ones. Physically more involved, is it not? Shaririga Tapasya it is. More physical involvement. The next one, Vangmaya Tapasya. Anudvegakaram Vakyam, Satyam, Priyam, Hidam, Chayat. If that's not possible, Swadhyayam, Abhyasanam, Chaiva. Vangmayam tapavuchyate. Power of speech you control in that way. Now, more subtle than this is the next one. Let's look at that verse. The third one. Mana prasada saumyatvam. Maunam Atma Vinigraha
Maunam Atma Vinigraha
Bhava Samshuddhi Rityeta
Bhava Samshuddhi Rityeta
Tapam Mana Samuchyate
Tapam Mana Samuchyate
Mana Prasada Saumyatvam
Mana Prasada Saumyatvam
Maunam Atma Vinigraha
Maunam Atma Vinigraha
Bhava Samshuddhi Rityeta
Bhava Samshuddhi Rityeta
Tapam Mana Samuchyate That's it. Manaprasadam, Saumyatvam, Maunam, Alpa Vinigraha, Bhava Samshuddhi, Ityetal, Tapo Manasamuchyate. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. Are the austerities of the mind. Says Krishna is saying here. To make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It should be so trained that it can always thinking of doing good for others. The best training for the mind is gravity in thought. One should not deviate from Krishna consciousness and must always avoid sense gratification. To purify one's nature is to become Krishna conscious. Satisfaction of the mind can be obtained only by taking the mind away from the thoughts of sense enjoyment. So, you can read that when you have time, the purport. So, Krishna is saying that Manaprasadam Saumyatvam Maunam Alpa Vinigraha Bhava Samshuddhi, that Bhava Samshuddhi is the whole thing there, in that verse. It's quite difficult, Bhava Samshuddhi. Bhava Samshuddhi iti edal, tapo manasamuchyade. Manaprasadam, manashandi. Swachadabhadanam, manasaprasadaha, saumyattvam, yet saumanasya mahu. Mukhadi, prasadadi kairyoneya, andakarana vrti. Maunam, vaksamyamam, api manasamyama purvago bhavadi. Iti kairyana karanam uchyade, manasamyamo maunam iti. Atma vinigraho, mano nirodha, sarvodha, samanya rupa, atma vinigraho, vagi vishayasya, eva manasaha, samyamo maunam, iti visheshaha. Bhava samshuddhi, pare, vyavahara kale, amayavitvam, bhava samshuddhi, iti eda tapo manasamuchyate. So, this, what does it mean, this manaprasad saumyatvam, maunam atma vinigraha? Krishna is saying that, depending on our mind, our vasanas inside, whatever thought waves we have inside, it will, and depending on the actions based on that, what we do here in this world, that will create our shandi or steadiness in the mind. The mind will depend on our peacefulness, isn't it? How peaceful we are. For example, if our vasanas are not very strong, and if it's not the urges inside, I mean, the urges are not pushing us in different directions, it has got a peaceful nature, in that case, shandi will be there inside. And it will reflect on our face also. Sometimes you can see people with a lot of anxiety in life. They are always under stress. Isn't it? Devotees also, sometimes, very stressed out, you will see them. And you start thinking, why they are stressed so much? After all, you have come to spiritual life to have some shandi inside. But somehow or the other, due to some prarabdham that is also there, that they feel very stressed. Very, very stressed, isn't it? So, that is what Krishna is saying here, bhava samshuddhi. If you are stressed like that, that it will reflect on the face. It will reflect on the face, isn't it? Generally we say, if you don't speak, maunam, silence, it's called, isn't it? But if you control your mind, and by controlling the mind, because you have managed to move away from the mind, that's how you control the mind. Not identifying with the mind, staying separately from the mind, and always observing one's own mind, what thoughts are coming in and how it's influencing our actions, analyzing that. So, in that way, controlling the words also, when we speak, we call that also mavanam. Also mavanam. So, when control of the senses, or due to the control of the mind, if it comes under our control to some degree, and it controls the words also, it is also mentioned there that it is more or less control of the self. Control of the self. So, that means what happens to that person at that time? What will happen is that in his dealings with the world, there will not be any cheating, any lying, or any kind of duplicity in his dealings with the world. That is what that word bhava shuddhi means. See that word bhava shuddhi? Bhava samshuddhi rityetal tapo manasam uchyade. And that is why it is more subtle and it is the most difficult one out of the three. All three are difficult. We find all the three difficult, isn't it? Not one of them is easier. But out of those three, sharira tapasya is easier compared to the vangmaya tapasya and manasa tapasya. Sharira tapasya is easier compared to these two. Vangmaya tapasya is more difficult. But more difficult than all that is this bhava samshuddhi. Bhava samshuddhi means he has become very pure in his inside. In the subtle body, there is no vasanas, there is no chittavritti inside. When that purity comes, it is bhava samshuddhi. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, yathoktam kaigam, kaigam is the 14th one, vachigam is the 15th one, manasam is the 16th verse. 14, 15 and 16. Tapaha taptam nare sattvadi bhedena katham trividam bhavadi iti uchyate. So, these three words, things, kaigam, vachigam, manasam, that means shariram, based on the body, then vangmayam, based on the power of speech, and the third one, based on the mind. These three kinds of austerities, tapasaya, and that based on the sattva-gunam, it will change into different ways, these three things. And that's what Krishna is going to talk about from now on. In the next few verses, that's what he will speak about it. But here, let us understand this a little bit more, which one, this bhava samshuddhi, what Krishna is talking about there. So, manaprasadam saumyatvam, maunam alpa vinigraha. So, what is the first thing Krishna says? Manaprasadam. Manaprasadam means, bahya prasadam you know. Bahya prasadam means, externally being cheerful, when you are meeting people. You are always pleasant and cheerful. That doesn't mean inside you are cheerful. Only outside. That is, we put up a show to others. How are you? I'm alright. That is bahya prasadam, it's called. Inside there could be some volcano ready to erupt. Or some kind of, some strong emotions or feeling of hate or anger or something could be going on inside. But externally, that's called bahya prasadam. Bahya prasadam is not what Krishna is talking about. Mana prasadam inside. Am I peaceful inside? First thing. That's the first question Krishna is saying. So here, Krishna is talking about mana prasadam, not about bahya prasadam. So, that means manasa is prasannam. Prasanna means pleasant. Always very pleasant inside. Just like, this is the reason, in Sushupti states, Alma has got a name called Samprasadam. Samprasadam. Because in Sushupti, that's what's happening. There is no Chitavrti. There is no emotions. There is no hate. There is no desires. And Ragam, Dvesham, Kamam, Krotham, Lobham, Moham, Madham, Malsaryam. Nothing there in the Sushupti. And simply experiencing that pleasant state of the Atma. Therefore, he is given a name. Atma is given a name at that time as Samprasadam, who is totally in Eshaha Samprasadaha, Upanishad says. That complete perfection of Shanti inside at that time, is it not? So, once we go inside and comes out from that state, we go into that state, isn't it? And then we come out in the morning when it gets bright in the morning, we come out from that. So, That is the reason, because we go into that state, samprasadam state, that is why when we wake up in the morning, we feel some energy and enthusiasm to do some things. Is it not? In the night when you went to sleep, you were tired, exhausted, you went to sleep. And then went to the deep sleep. But when you wake up in the morning, you feel some energy and you feel some enthusiasm to do things, able to think a little bit peacefully inside and feeling some kind of energy working inside. And that is due to going into that samprasadam state. That is due to that. For some time, without vasanas, without chittavati, without any of the emotions, you have been able to stay. Which means without the body, without the mind. None of them had any influence on you. The world had no influence on you. You were on Atma. Only with the Atma. Therefore, that prasadam of the Atma was present there at that time. And having experienced that, you came out in the morning when you woke up and you felt some strength from that. It's not due to lying down that you got it. Or sometimes people think that, because I had slept and I got it. That slept means from what? This is what's happening in that deep sleep state, isn't it? So, when you came out of the sushupti state if you come out, you will experience that. And not due to prakriti alone, not due to the air-conditioned room or to the bed you have slept, or anything. That's not the reason behind it. So, similarly you can see, sometimes, when you stay in the association of certain people, you will experience that. A kind of shanti inside. Or you can see when you hear some nice music or some people speaking very nicely about certain things, isn't it? It creates a nice experience inside. So that is manaprasadam, what Krishna is talking about here. Manaprasadam, that is coming due to desham kalam vyakti, time, place and the person involved. Due to that, manaprasadam can happen. They can create manaprasadam inside. Due to the place where you are, some holy places when you go, you stay in an ashram there, or you are in the association of some mahatmas, you got an opportunity to associate with some people, or the time when you were there was very pleasing to yourself. You felt some shanti inside. In a natural way it came to you. Where it has come from, you don't even know about it. But you felt shanti inside. So, desham, kalam, vyakti, three things. Time, place and persons whom you have associated with, it can happen. That is one kind of manaprasadam. Manaprasadam, Krishna is on. Manaprasada saumyatvam, he says here. Isn't it? So, sometimes you can see, on a particular place when you go, you will feel a kind of prasannada. For example, you go to Himalayas. You go to Badrinath, Kedarnath, places like that. Suddenly you feel a kind of atmosphere makes you feel, you completely forget about all what's going on in the world. Is it not? You're in a completely different world experience. And you start thinking this is where the rishis have spent their time. Narayana Ashramam, Narada Maharshi's Ashramam, all great, great rishis, their places where they have lived, they have performed their meditations. They didn't come to this world like the way we are busy with our vyoharam. They had nothing like that. And you start so many good thoughts coming into the mind in a natural way due to the influence of the place. That place is influencing you. When you are there, you won't be thinking about your bills to pay here or anything like that. In a very natural way, that surroundings there, the very atmosphere there is influencing us without our knowledge. And you start looking at yourself, you will see all the thought waves that are coming in are all related to Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam or things related to spiritual life. Because nothing else is there except that. Those places. They have nothing else to affect you. That purity of that place is influencing us. Is it not? This is, you can see if you go to, especially particularly Himalayas, this is very, because unlike other places in Himalayas, there is not Vyavaharam so much, isn't it? So you can see when Vyavaharam withdraws, there is a shanti straight away inside. There is shanti inside. So similarly, if you go to famous temples where there is a lot of deity worship going on seriously, in the association of chanting people, devotees, chanting the holy names or reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, there also immediately your consciousness changes. You are not thinking anymore very much. You get quickly pulled into spiritual life, seriously, isn't it? Everyone is absorbed in paying obeisances to Krishna or chanting, reading Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. All that atmosphere has an immediate impact on you. Very quickly it happens. You may be standing in the queue, but immediately your thought words are not going out anymore. It's going in very easily, isn't it? Similarly, in certain ashramam, when you go, if the ashramam is well cared for and there is a Mahatma living there, the whole ashramam will be affected by the presence of that Mahatma there. Mahatma's presence will be there. So, or somebody has spoken to you something which has affected you and has created some prasannada inside, some manaprasadam inside. So, all these things is based on the external influences. Is it not? All based on the external influences. Due to the place where you are, due to the time you are, for example, say early hours in the morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you went to the temple, and there is abhishek going on, Krishna is being dressed, and lot of devotees are chanting the holy name. It's all external things that's causing that change in you. If you look in your own mind, you will see it's not anymore wandering after other things. Straight away, it gets absorbed in that atmosphere there. Isn't it? So, but the problem with that is, this prasannada, manaprasadam, what Krishna is saying there, if you take it away from you, then it will go straight away. As soon as you leave that, and you go to the city, driving to city, and you see all the traffic there, and all people running around with various businesses, this shanti, what you felt here, is gone. Straight away, gone. So, it was in Himalayam, you felt it, but when you came down, it's gone. When it came, it's gone. So, but the interesting thing is, suppose you have stayed in Himalayas for 3 months or 6 months, then the politics will start there again. All the usual problems of this world will come, develop there also, isn't it? Forming a party or group or something like that. So, you've gone there to stay there in that prasannada state, isn't it? So, wherever you may go, this will happen. This will happen. It will only last for a short period of time. You can see, for example, our Jayan Vijaya, there were people from Vaikuntha, isn't it? They managed to get discouraged and come here as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. That itself is an indication of that. So, wherever you go, the mind is a mind at the end. Mind will be like that, isn't it? For some time, it will show some obedience and it will show some peacefulness and everything, shanti, it will show, this mind. The very nature of the mind is like that. But once you get used to it, then it will change its nature. You must have observed, every one of us knows that, isn't it? That for some time it will listen, see, and then after a while the mind will pull you out. It won't allow you to stay independent. So, just like you can see, anywhere you get used to a place, then you, after a while, you will see that you are not getting the same motivation in spiritual life from those places also. You won't get it. It happens. That is why they say, if you go to Vrindavan, don't stay more than 3 days. If you stay more than that, you will feel some kind of affinity with the place, and you will feel more mundane. Our vasanas start flowing out, and then we start dealing with people in a different way, because vyavaharam will begin. And with that, physically you are there, but you are not much different than from the outside world, isn't it? So, it is true, wherever you go, whether you go to Haridwar, Rishikesh, wherever it is. So, our behavior is also like that. So, even Uttama Manaprasadam, they call it, the first class Manaprasadam that you receive from Salsangam, even that's not permanent. That's not permanent. As long as there is Salsangam, it will be there. Now, you are hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and you are naturally, your mind is in a peaceful state. You are thinking about it, what Krishna is saying in these verses, and it gives you some shanti inside. But as soon as you leave this hall and start driving, the whole thing changes again, isn't it? So, That's like that. I mean, Salsangam is over, again, once you go to the village, glad to meet you. It will sound in that way. So the mind is, the mind's nature, that's what we are discussing now. So, so what this impression he gives to us, he's saying to us that, like we say, oh, we haven't met for a long time, and I'm still here. He comes back, who? The mind comes back. I'm still here, and he will wake up. So, therefore, Salsangam is over, he has come back very fresh, refreshed, completely to for action again. And he, when we were busy with Salsangam, he has gone and taken rest. Who? The mind. That's what he has done. When you are having your Salsangam, or when you are going to the temple, or what he does is, he goes and takes rest. And when, as soon as you are finished with your business, he is ready to come, with full blast, to come, isn't it? So, this is Krishna is saying here, whatever we are understanding in the Salsangam, if you do not reflect on it well, and if you do not make it your own, then Behir Nirodham, that means in that way, you may be able to stop this. That's the only way to stop this Behir Nirodham. Behir Nirodham means this attack from the mind, to stop that, and Manaprasadam has to come in that way. That is the way to do it. That means, we are hearing all this in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita gives us a very good, in-depth understanding of the our own body, our own mind, our way of functioning in this world, everything. So, but, at the same time, this attachment to the world, which comes back to us, brought back by the mind, as soon as you leave the Salsangam. If that has to stop, this understanding what we get in Salsangam, it has to be reflected, reflected and reflected, and it has to become our own. That means this Bahir Nirodham. Bahir Nirodham means able to block the world entering inside. Block the world entering inside. You will see this that Padartha Bhavana. Padartha Bhavana means the objects in the world, we have some connection with them all the time, isn't it? That Sangam, that has to break. Attachment to that has to break. Bahye Niruddha Manasaha Prasannada. In the Viveka Chudamani, Acharya mentions this. Bahye Niruddha, able to block that world getting in. And Manasa Prasannadaha, mind will become Prasannam in a natural way. That is his point. His point is that, so, Manaprasade Paramatma Darshanam. If Manaprasadam happens, then Paramatma's Andaryami inside, you will see him crystal clear inside. Tasmin Sudrishte Bhavabandha Nashaha. When you see that Andaryami inside, Bhavam, Bhavam means repeated cycle of birth and death will come to a stop. Bhavabandha Nashaha. Behir Nirodha Padavim Vimuchyate. So, Behir Nirodha Padavi, that is what it's called. Behir Nirodham, blocking that external world getting in. This is the important thing. Prasades, Krishna mentions this in the 65th verse, in the second chapter if you look. This is what Krishna is talking about. Prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyo bhajayate. 264. If you look, you will see, Krishna says there, what happens to that person at that time? This is coming from this Manaprasadam. 64 and 65 both. 64 is saying, Ragadvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran Alma Vasher Vithayalma Prasadam Adigachadi. That is the, that verse. Manaprasadam, that's what it is. This is that Krishna is talking about. Ragadvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran Alma Vasher Vithayalma Prasadam Adigachadi. Why? At that time, Atmavashir. You have come. Atmavashir. Atmavashir. If you see there, that the attachment and aversion has gone, and you have come under the control of the spiritual energy, and the control of Atma. Atma is dictating everything, not the mind anymore. Mind is Ragadvesham, isn't it? Mind is Ragadvesham. That's gone. Ragadvesham Mukta Atma. Then, senses are not functioning anymore. Vishayan Indriya is Charan. That's also finished. Then what has happened? Completely, Atma is controlling everything. Atma Vashir Vidhaya Atma. Alpa Mashir, Vithay Alpa. Then what will happen? Prasadam Adhigachari. You will be having that prasadam. And that prasadam is Krishna saying in the next verse. Prasade sarvadukhanam hani rasyobha jayade prasanna chedaso hyashu buddhi paryavadishtade. That for one that's satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence no longer, in such satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. This is that state what Krishna is talking about here in this verse. Manaprasada saumyatvam maunam atmavinigraha bhava samshudhiritiyetal tapo manasamuchyate. So this verse 10, 16 is connected with those two verses. So now you know why it is so subtle, isn't it? It's not so simple that unless one has come out of the mind, and mind is not anymore dictating to us what to do and what not to do. That means control under the control of Atma, completely under control of the self. If it all Atma Vishir Vithay Atma, then prasadam will come. And when that prasadam comes, prasade sarva dukhanam hani rasyobha jayade, nothing can disturb you in this world at that stage. And that is why these two verses are a little bit more advanced than the other two verses. Beginning is sharira tapasya. Further it moves into the next stage is vangmaya tapasya. And finally, vangmayam tapo manasamuchyate. So the three kinds of tapasya, sharirika tapasya, vangmaya tapasya, and manasika tapasya. One more subtle than the other. Vangmayam is more subtle than the shaririyam, and manasikam is more subtle than the vangmayam. So that's the thing we have to understand. So Krishna has spoken two things in there, in that to get that prasadam inside, isn't it? So if the external things don't get in, that means no ragadveshan comes in, then your mind will become prasannada. Ragadvesha vimukteshtu vishayan indriyesh charan, isn't it? So but Krishna says there in the second chapter, vishayam connection, attachment, or the association with the vishayam, sense objects, is impossible to give up, isn't it? But that is difficult to give up. Which one? Sangam. Sangam is difficult with sense objects. But if you can remain in this world without ragadvesham towards the sense objects, then mind will become prasannam. This is the technique behind it. Then vishayam will always be there. You have to take prasadam. You have to sleep. You have to do various things in this world. But while doing all that, if it does not create ragadvesham inside, then mind will become prasannada. Prasannada will come to them. What does that mean? No speciality to anything in this world. And no, and whatever comes in life, able to accept it without attachment to it. Without attachment to it. Similarly, if you don't get it, don't get upset about it. And sometimes what you may not have got it, but it has come by chance. Therefore, you are not feeling any particular attachment to it also. So in other words, this ragadvesham, if you look closely, you will see it is all due to the attachment only that ragadvesham builds up inside. Is it not? Suppose you have worked hard to get something in life, and you have planned your life so much and put a lot of energy into it. And if you didn't get it, you feel dvesham, hate. If you did get it, you feel ragam, attachment to it. So, not allowing these things to develop inside, that is called ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyesh charan. Krishna is saying to us that is the way to develop this not feeling any speciality in anything. Whatever happens in life, let it happen. What matters? What is it there ultimately? That means always if you are focused on death and about leaving this world, if you are constantly analyzing it, you won't feel any speciality in anything in this world. And that is why importance to analyze death and analyze about the departure from this world all the time. That's the only way you can develop this understanding in life. Otherwise, if you take this life too seriously, thinking that it's all permanent, I'm going to be here for another 40, 50 years, what will happen to my pension, this, that and the other, worrying about it, and running around about it. But this is endless it is. You also have to know inside. You may have to do what you have to do, but no speciality in anything. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, doesn't matter. Let it go. What does it matter? At the end, you are going anyway from here. So constantly, that is what Krishna is talking about. That so therefore, suppose I didn't get something, what I wanted to get, no anger or hate about that. Similarly, because I didn't get it, I don't feel any hate about that. Similarly, what I have to get, somebody else got it. Therefore, envy because of that. That's also ragadvesham. Without all these things, whatever that comes in life, we have to work in this world for our survival here. But beyond than that, not to take too much more than that, to give too much importance to it. Whatever that has come in that process, and be satisfied and accepting it that way, Krishna says, that is Bhagavad Prasadam. That is what Krishna has given it to me in that way, accepting it that way. If you do that, Krishna is saying, Manaprasadam will come. That's the way to develop this, what Krishna calls it as Manaprasadam. That's the only way to create this Manaprasadam. Because Manaprasadam is that Shanti inside the mind. Krishna said this in the Bhagavad Gita, and if the chittam or mind is like that, a person who has got a mind in that way, oriented, then that mind very easily will give a lot of strength for self-inquiry. Almavijaram. Almavijaram will develop from that kind of mind. You know why we are not able to do self-inquiry? Because of this. Manaprasadam is not there. We are putting all our effort and energy into it, struggling with it, and saying, oh, it's not possible. Why? Because inside is this problem. Attachment in various places, and we feeling that ragadvesham is very strong inside. In a subtle level, it's operating. And if the results doesn't come, or what I have planned in my life has not happened, then I will keep the Bhagavad Gita closed and I will go after sorting it out first. Is it not? That shows to us that Manaprasadam is not there, what Krishna is saying here, isn't it? So that is what that 65th verse, Krishna says, Prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyobe jayate. He says there, Prasanna chedaso hyashu buddhi paryavadishtade. See that verse? Prasanna chedaso hyashu. Prasanna chedaso means who has got Manaprasadam. Prasanna chedaso hyashu buddhi paryavadishtade. His intelligence will be only fixed in the knowledge of the self. About self-realization, he will go after that. So we can see these verses is telling us our problem. Is it not? It's telling us our own problem. Only thing is we have to accept it. Krishna is saying to us. So from this you can understand, if we have not progressing in spiritual life, we don't have to blame anybody. We don't have to blame anybody in this world. Nobody else is responsible. Only this Manaprasadam has not come. I have a lot of attachment, aversion inside, ragam and dvesham, towards people, towards objects, towards so many other things in this world. And that's not allowing me to develop that Manaprasadam. Quickly getting disturbed, very easily getting disturbed by silly things in this world. So the only way this will happen, also this another side to it, as you get older also, these things will become more clearer without even reading the book. You will understand that because you have gone through the life and you have seen there is nothing much here happening in this world. I took it so seriously when you are young about this life, thinking that oh, there is a long life I have to get through, family, this, that and the other. Now when you look back, what do you think about this life? What meaning has it got? Samsare kim saram, says in the Shivananda Lahiri. This material life, what meaning has it got? It hasn't got any meaning. But the society has pumped it onto our head that this is so important, this is the only opportunity you have in this world. This is not the only opportunity. As many opportunities as one Krishna will give it to us to come and struggle here. This is not the only opportunity. But that illusion, that maya in us has created this feeling inside us that this is the only life and everything has to, you live only once or whatever they say like that, and then this illusion carries, drags us through all these things. But when you get closer to death and when you see your own friends are leaving the world, family members, friends, all are leaving the world one after the other, you start looking back and laughing at the whole thing. That's all you can do. Because you are on your way out. How long? If Krishna gives you one extra day, that's it. Another day gone. So, body is also showing all symptoms of get ready. Message is coming from him. Email, letters, everything is coming from the Yamadharma Raja also. So, and you are seeing right in front of your eyes, people are leaving this world. And what happened to all the wealth they have made? Where is it? It's lying there still, they have gone. And all the big name they have earned. So, this realization will come through practical experience in life. Plus, Krishna is indicating to us, confirming that in the Shastram through these verses. We don't have to wait till old age to realize it. What I'm saying is that if you realize it early in life, it's a good fortune. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. So that is why Krishna is saying, Manaprasadam. This Manaprasadam, what Krishna is talking about. Prasade sarvadukhanam hani rasyoba jayate prasanna chedaso hyashu buddhi paryavatishtade. So one said prasannada chedasa. Chedasa means mind. Prasanna chedaso hyashu. If the prasannada comes to the mind, buddhi paryavatishtade, then your intelligence won't waver anymore. Because you know you're on your way out. And then you won't be too bothered about all these things, what's going on in this world. You want to go, and you want to go as quickly as possible from here. Rather than trying to mend things, because you know, if it's not today, it's tomorrow. You have to go. So, Krishna's point is that, if it is done, you will become more serious about the self, not about the body anymore. Remember, when you talked about the body, idea of cleaning the body and maintaining the body is to make realize that this body is nothing, cannot be prepared, fixed. This body cannot be purified. This body cannot be in any way of any help to us. Ultimately, you have to leave it and go, isn't it? So once that realization comes, Krishna is saying, "Buddhi paryavadishtade." At us at that time, our buddhi will become fixed in the self. Fixing the self. What Krishna calls it as Vyosayalpamiya Buddhi. That will become much more firm at that time. It's very rare this will come in the early days in life. For ordinary people, I'm saying. There are exceptions. Few people who had practiced it in previous lifetimes, they, you will notice them, as soon as they are born, they are able to capture this straight away. And that is why even in the early days in life, if you observe their life, Vivekananda and all were like that. Very early in life, they were able to take to it without any difficulty. But common people like all of us, general class of people, we had to go through the life to come to this understanding. But it is nice to hear this from the Bhagavad Gita when Krishna is telling us that it is again confirming our own realization in life. Because we are all realizing the same thing. Life is coming to an end. We are going to go. All the so-called family connections and relations and friends and assets and money, job, all this has no meaning whatsoever when you are leaving this body and going away from here. You are on your own, is it not? Everything is over. All connections with this world is over with that. So that realization, if it comes now, even at this late stage in life, still it is worthwhile. That ryagam dvesham will go away from inside. What's the meaning of this ryagam? What's the meaning of dvesham either? So Krishna is saying here that all buddhi paryavatishtade, buddhi intelligence will get established in that. So in other words, mind is not attracted anymore by the things what's happening in the world outside. If it happens like that, prasannada will come. Mind will be more shanti and peace will happen. And in other words, this mind which is very, very powerful, that will, they call it as paramartha darshanakshama. It is in a position, it is incapable now, when it comes to that stage, it is capable of realizing the truth. Paramartha darshanam. Paramartha darshanam. So, suppose a person's mind is not taking the shelter of anything outside. Normally we have, our mind will always, when you get older, what's the thought comes in? Who will look after me when I'm sick? That's a major concern, isn't it? And you know that it's going to come one day. You will lie down somewhere. Will there be anyone who will feed? You can't, from practical experience also, you know very well that esteem people whom you thought may give you some care or some help, they won't be able to do it. Something will happen in life, they may not be able to do it. Then if you put faith in all these NHS and all other things, you don't know where it will end up. You can see how things happen in people's lives, or everyday complaints about this and that. So old age and disease and death, how it will all turn out for each one of us will be different. Because what our prarabdham, we don't know. It can come, what is left over in this life. This life is our prarabdham. A lot of prarabdham we have already finished. Now what is left over, that will come with full force at the old age before death. And that is that last prarabdham, we have to come out of it. Isn't it? When we, before we leave the body, few months, few days, few years, we don't know. That few months, few days or few years is that remaining prarabdha shishtam, they call it. Balanced prarabdham, what is left, it has to come with its full force and push you down and make you feel totally helpless. Nobody can help at that time. Friends will come, relatives, they'll bring the flowers or they'll give you a phone call. What can it do? What will it help? You are helpless, your body, you can't do anything with the body, isn't it? So that is Krishna is saying here, that if you are not feeling any dependency on anything outside, because these are all outside agents, isn't it? And that will not go away easily from inside. Dependence on Krishna won't happen very easily. We will still say, chant the holy name and say, oh, Krishna will help me, but still inside, in the very inside, you'll be planning somebody else will help at that time, isn't it? So if it is not dependent on anybody outside, wife, children, father, mother, friends, relations, or the wealth, if it has got released from all that, then manaprasadam will come, Krishna says. Manaprasadam will come. If it is dependent on any of these things, then it will be very difficult. Very difficult. So what is important here? Krishna is saying here that if it happens that way, that if it is not dependent on any of the external things, so that is where the stress should be, developing that strength inside, not to be dependent on anything outside. When we say outside, it means all this, husband, wife, children, parents, friends, relations, money. If all these things will give me protection, if I got my shelter there, then I will be in trouble at the time when I die. That's what Krishna is saying here. And in that case, you will become, manaprasadam will come, and if you're dependent on all those things, any of them, ego will strengthen again. Which we know, these things doesn't require explanation. It's our daily experience, isn't it? So, but if we lose that faith in all these things, external objects, then our ego will go. Ego will dissolve. Ego will dissolve. You may have distress in life. You may have a lot of problems in life. So, anything, if you depend in life, being dependent on somebody or any object in this world, and if you are feeling shelter there, that if anything happens to any of that, you can see, you will realize it, this is not permanent. So, Krishna does this to all of us, one day or the other. Suppose somebody has a lot of faith in the wealth, what he has made in life, or friends or family, or anything like that, where he has put all his faith, worked all his life to protect them, look after them and all that. And in that faith, he is executing his spiritual life also. But faith is not in Krishna. Faith is in all these things. What Krishna does at that time? Krishna will put the situation in such a way at the old age, he will put you into a corner and make you realize it, that all those things where you have put your faith is all false. That realization will come. Will come. Krishna, that is the way Prakriti works in this world. Prakriti knows where your weakness is and she will hit you there. She will hit you there. So, therefore, best thing is to practice this, what Krishna is saying to us. Little by little, whatever capacity we have got. And in that way, not to make anything speciality here in this world. Remember, Krishna mentioned that before, that feeling of anything, feeling something is special. Why you feel special? Because there is a selfish interest behind it. Family members, money. You feel special because you feel it, that will protect you. That is why you are feeling that speciality. So, by analyzing this, the way Krishna has spoken, in this way, dealing with the world, in Vyavaharam, as well as in the normal life, all the time, dealing with everybody, every object in that way, not to feel any speciality with anyone or any object in this world. This is what is necessary. This you will notice if you see the Mahatmas in them. This quality. No speciality anywhere. If it is like this, or it's like this. If it's like that, it's like that. It doesn't matter, as far as they are concerned. Today you say something to them, that's fine. Today praise them, they'll say fine. Tomorrow you criticize them, they say fine. It doesn't matter. Because they have not taken any shelter of any of us in the outside world. This is their greatness, Mahatmya. This is their glory. So, if anywhere, if you have any speciality anywhere, remember this, if you have any speciality towards anything in this world, any time, one day it will bring you distress. One day it will bring you distress. That is what Krishna mentions there. Samatvam yogamuchyade. You remember this word? Samatvam. That equality, equanimity in the mind. This is what that means. Not to feel any speciality towards anyone in this world or to any object in this world. Nothing is special here. Because ultimately you are passing it over, handing it over and going from here. Why feel so importance to it? Why you give so much unnecessary importance to something which is not even yours? It is only due to prarabdham something is coming through you and it will go also in the same way. But instead we, due to our ego, we think that we have worked hard, we earned all this money and we have earned, and we have made all these social connections and friends and family and all that, and you put all your faith in all these false things, and Krishna will hit you there at the very point to make us realize that it is not the reality. It's not the reality. That is what Krishna is saying here, that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you remember, if you have any speciality anywhere, it will give you distress at the end. That is why Narayana Kavacham, remember when we talked about that, mentioned this also. Narayana Kavacham is not a number of verses. There, that 6831, that famous verse. Remember? How I should get protected? With this understanding I should get protected. That is Narayana Kavacham. Narayana Kavacham is that understanding I should get protected. It is not a metal sheet that you put it on, a cover. From this understand, that is, Edahi Bhagavan eva vastuda sadasa chayad. Isn't it? Yeah. Satye nanena na sarve yandu nasha upadravaha. This is that armor. Narayana Kavacham is that. Edahi Bhagavan eva. What is present in this creation is only Krishna. Nothing is ours, isn't it? Krishna is present everywhere in different forms. Vastuda sadasa chayan. Satra and asatra, both. Sadvastu. Sadvastu means Atma is present everywhere. In different bodies, in different persons. Sad asachayat. Asatra also. Whatever we call it as asatra, doesn't matter here. Satya nanena na sarve yandu nasho vadravaha. If that is the truth, I should not get disturbed from that. This is Narayana Kavacham. This is the Narayana Kavacham's theory. Narayana Kavacham, okay, in the beginning, if you read, you will see, let me be protected from Vamanamurti, by Narasamurti, all these things says. Finally, the conclusion is like this. Yadahi Bhagavaneva Vastuda Sadasachayad Satye Nanena Na Sarve Yadu Nasha Upadravaha. That if everything is Krishna here, why should I get fearful of anything? Why should I get frightened? The moment we lose this and we come to the bodily identity, we come fear again. Fear develops inside. Is it not? Fear develops inside. It is on the strength of this, personalities like Prabhupada could go to America in that stage. Otherwise they couldn't do it. This realization has come stronger inside. If it has come stronger, then there is no fear anymore. Whatever happens will happen. That Krishna is doing it. So many things. And same thing with many, many other great personalities. If you look, you will see the same principle applies in their life. That's what matters to them more. Simply reading Bhagavatam is not good enough. This realization is more important. Yadahi Bhagavaneva Vastuda Sadasachayat Satye Nanena Sarve Yadunasha Upadravaha. Yadunasha Upadravaha. So good and bad things in this world. We say good and bad, isn't it? All of those things, if it's all Krishna, then where is the question of getting frightened about anything? There is no good and bad. Good and bad is all both Krishna. And in that way, Ragadvesham will go from inside. So, because if you start seeing Krishna's presence in everything, whether a good person or a bad person, good object or a bad object, whatever it may be, it's all Krishna, then Ragam and Dvesham cannot be there. Is it not? Ragam Dvesham won't happen then. So, if it happens like that, Krishna says here, if you come to that, you are in that state when you have got an armor. That is that kavacham. Kavacham is an armor. That is the kavacham. Actually, Krishna is talking about. So, so he, wherever he goes, he is still under this cover. This cover, Narayana Kavacham. That's the cover he has got. So, nothing can affect him. And he, because he will not be attacked by anybody, because he has already realized the truth. So, either this is what Krishna calls it as manaprasadam, manaprasadam, cheerfulness. That's coming from that. It's not easy to, that to happen. Krishna is saying it is a tapasya. It's a tapasya. Rarely you will see, if you have, unfortunately it's difficult here, but sometimes you see those who are seriously living a spiritual life. In some people, you will observe this, these things. You will observe in that, in different degrees, in different degrees. So, so deity worship, chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and keeping that mind, because this is where help of the Bhagavatam necessary, to keep that peace, shanti inside, and that is even difficult for Mahatmas. Even Mahatmas, they find it difficult, because in some situations in life, this can go from us. We have no control over it. It's funniest thing is that in our little life, you try this once or twice, you will see it hardly lasts for 2 minutes in our life. But in Mahatma's life, it happens. Now and then it can happen in their life. It's not so easy. That's what Krishna is saying here. This manaprasada, so it is the most difficult thing out of all this. Manaprasada saumyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhava samshuddhi rityedal tapo manasam uchade. So out of these three, it's the most difficult one to be in that state all the time. So, and because Maya knows what our weakness is. She knows that very well. And we are thinking, oh, I've studied a few books and I'm very clever. You think like that. And Jnaninam abhichedansi devi bhagavati hisa agrishyamanaya mahamaya prayachari. You see, here the problem is, say for example in the school, you can cheat in the school. Copying or examinations copying or various ways, isn't it? With technology developing, people use different ways. If you are very smart and clever, they can do various things in the examinations. You can cheat in this school. But this examination, what we have to go through life, here you can't copy from somebody's life, isn't it? Who is sitting next to you. And you can't cheat in this life. So, Maya knows whether you are genuine or you are copying somebody. Maya knows that. Are you really a genuine person in spiritual life? Or are you copying somebody? Maya knows that. And Maya will play the game. Maya will play the game. So, so in whichever aspects of life, you are not able to pass. Maya knows that. And only when you pass that, she will let you out. She is very strict about that, Maya. That's how she does that. So, whichever subject, like in examinations also, so many subjects, isn't it? So, in our life also, there are so many areas where we have a lot of failures, isn't it, in spiritual life also. So she will make sure that till you pass in every subject, she won't let you out from here. Whether it is lust, anger, greed, then envy, pride, you know, a lot of things. Kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madham, malsaryam, illusion, competition. Like this, there are so many things inside us. And unless you pass through every paper in that, each one is a subject, each one of them. And Maya knows that very well. Here you can't copy anything, like in the school or in the college. So this live examination is a real one. Here you really got to pass. You got to pass. And only when you have passed it, she will let you out. She will let you out from her. And she knows where your weakness is. And because she knows where your weakness is, she will use that to try to finish your ahankara. Whichever area you're feeling strong, she knows that that's your weakness. For example, out of all these different departments, where your weakness is, she knows that. And she knows where to put you through that test there and make you till you pass that, she will continuously expose you for that. So it is only place where your cleverness won't work. You see, if I go for a job interview, if I am clever enough, sometimes I may get the job by telling lies or something like that. I manage to get through. I impress somebody. This we say like that, isn't it? I impress the people who have interviewed me. Say a panel of 4 people or 6 people interviewed. So 2 or 3 people, if you manage to impress them, they will. But Maya, you can't impress. That's the problem. In the examinations, you can do that. In business, for example, you are doing a big business, man. In business dealing, suppose you are very astute in cunning and clever in negotiations, and you know how to rip off the other man in business through your smart and clever negotiating power. Various means, isn't it? You may cheat somebody and you may secure a big business order, build up a business like that. That is possible. In school examinations, you can do cheating and come through. Everything else in this world, you can do all this. But when it comes to this examination of life, which is exposed to Maya, that's only where you can't do anything. Unless you are 100% genuine, and unless in each of these papers, kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madham, malsaryam, asuya, like this list, endless list, in all that examinations, till you pass, she will keep you here. She won't let you out. And that is how strict she is. This is why Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, is it not? Devi Hyasha Gunamai Mama Maya Durateya Mamaya Durateya Mamevayam Prabhadyande Maya Medam Tarandide. Says like that, isn't it? So, because of that only, Krishna mentions that, Arjuna, my Maya is very divine, and just like a mother bathes the baby, in a similar way she is bathing us from all these impurities inside. She is bathing us all the time. And this SRT, Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, 3 things, that is her force for bathing. For bathing, that's her force. And and if we want to escape from her, there's only one way, surrender to her. Surrender, surrender, surrender. There is no other way she is going to let you out from here. When we say like that, sometimes people understand, oh, I'm not going to surrender to her, I'll surrender to Krishna. Actually, Maya is not different from Krishna. Krishna is also not different from Maya. Whether you surrender here or you surrender there, you have to surrender. That's the only solution to the problem. That's what Krishna is saying here. Maya meva mameva pravadyande maya medam tharandide. Mam means, mam eva e prabhadyande means the controller. Mam is that controller of Maya, which is Krishna, controller of Maya. Krishna and Maya are not separate. Although for technical reasons we say like this, Maya Devi, Prakriti, Durga, Sri Parvati, And we say, oh, we don't care for her. And I've taken Krishna's shelter. And I've seen those who have said like that, those who said that I don't care for Maya, I only care for Krishna. Then next day they're falling down from their own spiritual life. So why did Krishna not protect you then? If you're so sure about that, that you're neither surrendered to Krishna nor surrendered to Maya. This is what has happened. So Krishna is saying here that Prakriti, Maya, her grace is necessary. And when we are in the Prakriti, in the Maya, in the world, you can take this pride that I am somebody, I am this, I am that. But she knows that where our problems are. She knows that. Where our weaknesses are. And she will take us out at that time. She'll take it upon us at that time. And she knows when to play monkey with us. How to? You know, like these people, they put the rope on the monkey's throat and wander around. In the same way, she knows how to play that with us. How to play monkey with us. And our cleverness, smartness, nothing will work at that time in life when we get that experience. In life, when that is it. That is why, akhita ghatana, padiyasi maya. All acharyas, they pay their obeisances to maya. In the Bhagavatam, Sukabrahma, she pays respects to maya. When? Vidura walked out from there. Isn't it? He says that, Sukabrahma, she says, I was not disturbed about Vidura going. I was just thinking the power of her power, Maya's power, what she is capable of doing. Creating this ill-feeling inside this family and making Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra to be so firm and stubborn about it, to throw Vidura away. Because Vidura's voice was the only saintly voice in that whole group. And Maya made sure that if Vidura stays there, they may do something good. So first thing, we have to get Vidura out from there. So that they will do everything wrong and finally get this war happen. Mahabharata war happened. That is what they are teaching us. Krishna is saying to us the same thing. So we'll continue after a few minutes.
Chedo darpana arjanam bhava mahadavarpinurvavanam Chayakaitava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandam budivardhanam pranivala purnamrada swadhanam Sarvatnasavanam bharam vijayade Krishna sangirtanam Nanamagari vahudani jasarva shakti Tatrarpidani midasmaranena gala Edadrishitava kripa bhagavan namabi Dhaivani drisham hajani nanuraga Tanaravishni jena Tarorabi sahishuna Amaninamanayena kirtaniya sadahari Nathanam najanam nasundarim Kavidam vajagadishatamayi Mama janmani janmani shvari bhavadar bhaktirahi bhavitvai Ayinandananuja kingaram Patidamanushame bhavambudau Kribayatavapadavangajasthidaduli sadrasham jindaya Nayanam galadashodaraya, vadanam gadgadarudhaya vira, pulagayar nijigam kadavavu tavannamagrahane bhavishyari. Yugayidam nimeshena, chakshusha pravishayidam, shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda grahename. Asvishyava, padaradam vinashtumam, adarshanam marmahalam karotuva, Yathātadhāvā vidadhādulam vadoma prānam adhāstu naivanāpara.
So, in this 16th verse, Manaprasada Saumyatvam Maunam Alpa Vinigraha Bhava Samshuddhi Ityedal Tapo Manasam Uchade. So that Bhava Samshuddhi, that is the purpose of this Mana Mano Tapasa, Tapasa, Manasiya Tapasa, The purpose is bhava samshuddhi. Bhava samshuddhi has to happen, isn't it? So, as we are talking about Maya, how she is capable, that once that, unless that bhava samshuddhi comes, she won't let you out from the Maya's grip. She will play monkey with us, make us like a monkey and agadidakarna padiyasi Maya. Acharya mentions this, that even those jnanis even, who have studied Vedam and Vedantam to such higher level, very higher levels, and thousands of Vedanta Vakyam, they have analyzed it, reflected on that. Even they, sometimes, they can see some things, small, small things, and get attracted to it. And make her, she will make them to hanker after that. And pursue for getting it. Chase them, make them to chase for getting it. Remember I mentioned a story about that in Hrishikesh. People have given up everything, home, family life, everything. They have come to Hrishikesh to engage in the tapasya there. Gets up early in the morning, goes to Ganga river, bathes in the river, in the, even the freezing cold weather, and then performing serious penances and everything. And even they sometimes, sannyasis who have come to that stage, when one sage sends some laddus for distribution, they fight each other to get a laddu. So just to show to us that we think that we have escaped from Maya, but you haven't escaped from Maya. That's what it is indicating to us. They could give up their whole home and family life, everything, all the wealth, everything they have handed over. But when they come to Haridwar or Rishikesh and they were engaging in their tapasya there, when somebody brought a huge plate of laddus and started distributing, they started fighting each other for the laddu. What does that mean? This happens. That's what she is called, Agadita Ghatana Padiyasi Maya. She can play this game with us. Just make us laugh at it, isn't it? One who has given up all his home, family, life, everything, and has come for self-realization to Hrishikesh, and broken all connections with the social life, wealth, everything, you know. And then by seeing one laddu, he has fallen for that. We are all in that category. We are not different. This can happen to us also. Tomorrow, if we don't have any money, we put into any situation like that, a laddu is enough to make us fall, to fight or quarrel, argue about it, isn't it? So, that is what this akatina katana padiyasi maya means. Things what you think cannot happen, she will make it happen. That's her power. She has got that strength. We think that it won't happen. No, it will, can happen. She can make that happen, her capacity. Many, many big intelligence people even, or great devotees even, or highly realized jnanis even, even they have fallen into this trap in her power, in her power. And you can see this also sometimes, say, Vishnu is bigger, Shiva is bigger. They argue each other, isn't it? And they will argue each other. And all this argument is coming from where? That's the question. There's a question there. That she will make them to fight each other. One will say Vishnu is superior, another will say Shiva is superior, and will make them to fight each other in that way. In other words, there is something in us, inside us, she knows where your weakness is, and she will hit you there. She will hit you there. So, at that point, we will throw, we leave all the shastram, everything, we will surrender to her. And, and we will, she will see our weakness at that time. This person has this discrimination inside. Shiva is superior, Vishnu is superior, somebody else is superior. In this way, knowing that that's your weakness, she will hold on to that and make you play with that and use us for that purpose, not able to realize the truth even then. Even then, not allow us to realize the truth. Because all these shastram and everything, we can study a lot, but you won't be able to cover it up from our lack of realization. She will only let you through when you have realization. Not by studying Shastram that she will let you through. Only when you have come out of this, your faith in the Shastram also she will test. How much faith you have in the Shastram and also how much realizations you have. And therefore you can't play with her. Any kind of duplicity in us or any kind of crookedness in us, she will pull it out and play with that with us, isn't it? So it is a cleansing process, what will happen. And just like when you have eaten a feast and you're full up and then your stomach is all upset due to that, if you go to toilet and you get cleared up everything from inside, how much relief you feel. It is the same way that if for a constipated person, when his stomach is cleared up, how much relief he feels. Similarly, in this gross body, you can imagine if we are getting some happiness from this gross body, imagine when the gross body is giving you this relief. Just like if you had constipation and if you gone to toilet and if you got cleared stomach, how much relief you feel from the gross body. How much relief you will feel when your subtle body is cleared up with all the constipation in the subtle body. The gross body constipation is, can something be done? This is the difference between the gross and the subtle. In the gross body, if you get relieved from the constipation, how much happiness you feel at that time? The relief, isn't it? So Brahmarshi is saying to us, Krishna is saying to us, what will happen to you in the same way if it happens with your subtle body? In the subtle body, if it gets cleared up everything, how great it will be. So therefore, nothing to be covered up from her, from Sri Parvati. Nothing to cover up from her. That's why Krishna is saying, surrender to her. Gopi surrendered to her, Kartyayini Mahamaye Mahayogini, addressing her like this. Imagine the words she has, they have used, gopis have used this, Kartyayini Mahamaye Mahayogini Adhishwari. These are all mantras in the Vedam addressing her. That's how they address her. Nandagova Sudam Devi Padime Kurde Nama. That's her. Rukmini Devi prayed to her, isn't it? Manasye Namasyetu Ambigaye Vishnam. So Sandani Yudam Shivam. That they are saying to her, not only your blessings we need, Rukmini Devi says to her, not only your blessings, your husband's blessings and your children's blessings, Ganesh and Kartikeya, their blessings also I need, she says to. So Sandani Yudam Shivam, she says. Who? Rukmini. Rukmini Devi says this to. So you can see personalities like them are saying like this to her. So what's her position? Imagine her status, isn't it? So great personality she is. How she is not from different from Krishna. Krishna's another manifestation that her is, isn't it? So Sharanagari, surrender is the way. Bhagavad Gita also talk about this surrender. Important thing is, whom to surrender is not the question. Do you surrender or not? That's the question. If surrender happens, that's purified the person. Whether, I'll surrender to Krishna, I won't surrender to Sri Parvati. That's not the solution to the problem. It's not due to that, not to that person that the purification happens. Purification happens due to your surrender. Krishna says there, isn't it? Ishara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtari. Brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. That maya, who is present inside, she will play with us. Yantrarudhani mayaya. That's her game, what she is playing. And that is what Krishna is saying there. Devi Keshava Gunamai Mama Maya Duratteya Mam Evayam Prabhadyande Ma Evayam Prabhadyande Maya Medam Tarandide. That then you can cross only through her grace, isn't it? And then Krishna says, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata Yal Prasadal Param Shantim Sthanam Prapsesi Shashvadam. In the 18th chapter, Krishna says that. So with all this understanding, if you surrender to Krishna as Antaryami inside, if you completely surrender to Him, you will be cleansed thoroughly. You'll be cleansed thoroughly. That is that when Krishna says that manaprasadam. What Krishna is talking about there? Manaprasad saumyatvam will come. That, so in order that manaprasadam to happen, the only way is that Maya's controller, Krishna, or whichever form it is, to Maya or to Krishna, surrender is the key. Surrender is the key. And Krishna is saying here, and in any situation in life, continuously depending on Krishna for shelter or Maya for shelter. Either in the form of Sri Bhagavati for shelter or Krishna's shelter. But taking shelter is more important than the form with which you are surrendering to. Does not matter whether you surrender to Shiva, whether you surrender to Vishnu, whether you surrender to Krishna, whether you surrender to Shiva. Surrender is more important. If surrender doesn't happen, no matter which form is there, it does make no difference. It makes no difference. So, Krishna is saying here that dependence on Krishna, it will purify the heart inside, chittam shuddhi, and that will turn into saumyatvam. See that word, saumyatvam? From manaprasadam leads to saumyatvam. Saumyatvam will come. And if a mind is prasannam, manaprasadam has come, naturally saumyatvam will come. Naturally saumyatvam will come. Because that is a symptom of sattvagunam. Which one? Saumyatvam. Saumyatvam is a symptom of sattvagunam. Manaprasada saumyatvam. Maunam. So this maunam, Krishna mentions that, maunam, before he has spoken about this maunam, Maunam Alpa Vinigraha, Krishna says, isn't it? Manaprasada Saumyatvam Maunam Alpa Vinigraha. So Maunam but Maunam should be spoken in relationship with the words, isn't it? Silence. But Krishna is not saying that. Krishna is saying Maunam in relationship with the mind. You see that? In that verse? Not in relationship with the words. Normally you say to somebody, be silent. We mean that you should silent, not speak anything. That means in relationship with the words. But here, Krishna is addressing that in relationship with the mind. See that? In that, manaprasada saumyatvam maunam alpa vinigraha. Isn't it? So, that means this maunam should happen in the field of the mind, manomandalam. Not in the vaja mandalam. Not in the mandalam of the words, but in the mandalam of the mind. Mandalam means the plane. Not through the silence of the words that Krishna wants it, but silence inside the mind. That means no chittavritti, no thought waves coming inside. So if it happens, those who goes close to them, they will also feel that. If it has happened to them. That means jnanis or great devotees, if inside their mind there is no chittavritti, those who go close to them, their mind also will become maunam. The mind will also become maunam. If you read into the Dakshinamurti Stotram, this is the first thing in that verse which mentions there, that maunavyakya prakatita para brahma tattvam yuvanam varshishtande vashada rishiganai avrudam brahma nishtai acharyendram karakalida chinam mudra ananda rupam swatma ramam mudita vadanam Dakshinamurti nile. This is the first verse in that famous Dakshinamurti stores, Ashtagam 8 verses, where Lord Shiva as Dakshinamurti is instructing transcendental knowledge to Srinarada Maharshi and the four Kumaras. They are all sitting in front of him. How is he instructing? Through silence, not through words. He is not speaking. Rishis have got doubts about the truth, various doubts that come to their mind. They have come to see Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is sitting underneath this tree as Dakshinamurti and he's not speaking anything. They are coming and sitting next to him and they are looking at him, he's looking at them. The photograph is there of that picture they have drawn. He's not speaking and they are not asking any questions. All their questions are getting cleared. Doubts are getting cleared inside. That is what it is talking about. That maunam does that. Because Lord Shiva's maunam means in his association, you are as good as dealing with Krishna there. It's not different there. On bhakti level, we will make all these differences. But when it comes to spiritual knowledge and self-realization, they all have in the same state of realization, isn't it? So, in association of Lord Shiva, they are experiencing that maunam inside. what Lord Shiva's Mavinam is influencing them, and all these great sages who are present there, they are saying all our doubts have gone away. Just by the very presence of Lord Shiva there. Lord Shiva there. So, that is what Krishna is also saying here, that this Mavinam is so powerful, the Gurustu Mavinam Vyakhyanam means, Guru, spiritual master, Lord Shiva is spiritual master. Like we say, Krishna Mande Jagal Guru, isn't it? Similarly, there Shiva is the spiritual master. There is a whole tradition coming through him. And he is instructing, but here he is silent. Mavinam. He is silent. Gurustu Mavinam Vyakhyanam. Guru is sitting very quietly, and disciples are saying, all our doubts have gone away. Due to his presence only. Therefore, once the mind becomes Mavinam or silent, that is a tapas. Krishna is saying that is a tapas. That's what he is saying there. That's a tapas. So, and in other words, what is pointing at is, if our chittavrittis have stopped completely, there is no thought waves coming anymore, even otherwise, even if the thought waves are coming, in the middle of that silence is not losing. You're not losing that realization. Even if the thought waves come, it does not change the situation, that silence inside. You are situated in the platform of the self, in other words, platform of Atma, platform of the realized state. And if the thought waves do not have big strength, suppose some thought waves have come, but they are very feeble, not very powerful. And if it is like that, behind that, there is that shanti, peace inside, or steadiness, or nishchalata, or the sanctity, which is experienced there. Krishna says, that is a big tapas. That's a big So, do you see that word, what Krishna has used? Maunam Alpa Vinigraha, he says. Maunam Alpa Vinigraha. In other words, if the mind has come to that state of stability or silence or shandi, if it has come to that and if it is fixed there, that is self-realization. Alpa Vinigraha. You are reached that stage. Maunam Alpa Vinigraha. That maunam has to happen first inside. Chittavritti has to completely stop inside. No more thought waves coming. If that stage has come inside, Alma Vinigraha. You are in control of the Alma. Alma is, that means your identity as Alma will be clear at that stage. So, Krishna has spoken this many times. We may not have taken notice of that. If you look into the 6th chapter, Krishna says there, verse 25. There, Krishna spoke in terms of Ashtanga Yoga. But realization is concerned, it won't change. Whether it's Ashtanga Yogam or Bhakti Yogam or Jnana Yogam. From the realized state, it won't change. It will remain the same. Yogam, Ashtangam, Jnanam, Bhakti and all are a process. But once you come to realizations, whether you got there through Ashtangam or through Jnanam or through Bhakti, it won't make any difference. It won't make any difference. Because that's what you are experiencing at that time. So look at that verse in the 6th chapter. Krishna is saying there, Shanai Shanai, yeah, Devam Eva, sorry, that's a fortune. Shanai Shanai Uparamed, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. Buddhya Dhriti Grihidaya Atma Samstam Manakritva Nakijit Abhichintayed. This is exactly the same thing what Krishna is repeating here in a different way. Manaprasada saumyattam maunam alpa vinigraha. It means shanai shanai uparamed. Krishna is saying gradually, step by step, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained by full conviction, and thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. Shanai shanai uparamed. Buddhya dhriti grihidaya. Buddhi, dhriti grihidaya. Dhritidaya means carried by conviction, Krishna is saying here. That means inside you have realized it. Not anymore on intellectual level. Intellectual level doesn't help. In realization it has happened. Buddhi dhriti vihidayam. And then atma samstam manakritva. You are situated in the platform of the soul. You are atma. That realization has come very firmly inside. I'm not this body anymore. Body connection is broken then. Now we have strong connection with the body, no connection with the atma, isn't it? But just like we have the connection with the body now, how strong it is, the same strong connection will come with atma and connection with the body will be broken. That's what he's saying here. Atma samstam manakritva na kinjit abhichintayed. And should think of course, in the yoga margam it is spoken in this way, in the jnana margam it is spoken in a little different way. Whichever way is spoken, when it comes to realization, it's one and the same. Whether you got there through Jnana Margam, whether you got through there Ashtanga Yogam, it doesn't matter. What matters is what is the realization at the end, isn't it? So that's what Krishna is saying here. Manaprasada Saumyatvam. Manaprasada Saumyatvam. Mananam Maunam Atma Vinigraha. And Bhavasam Shuddhi Rityedal Tabo Manasamuchyade. Krishna is saying here. Tabo Manasamuchyade. So, at that stage what happened? The mind has become completely stopped its function. It's not working anymore. Or, you can put it in another way, it's completely inward looking. Andarmukhato. Remember, I mentioned before, mind, when it is called mind, the same power that comes from the Chit Shakti, when it is going towards the world, it's called mind. When the same power, when it starts going inwards towards the self, Alma, through inquiry, it's going inward all the time, then it is called Shraddha. It's called Shraddha. So, power, the force is the same. We call, in the spiritual language, it's called, Adhyatma, we say, if it's going out into the world all the time, mind, we address it. If it stops going into the world totally, and it's all the time in the inquiry towards the truth, so self, it's always in that process, then it's called Shraddha. It's called Shraddha. So, such persons who has come to that stage, when it's not going out anymore, even when they are doing engaged in Vyavaharam, he will still be in that state while doing Vyavaharam also. That's a very advanced stage. Very advanced stage. That they have gone in so far and got established there as Atma, and still they may do Vyavaharam in this world, and that stage when he is able to do that, that state is called Atma Vinigraham. See that second word? Maunam Atma Vinigraham. Manaprasada Saumyatvam Maunam Atma Vinigraham. That Atma Vinigraham has happened to him, that person. It has happened to him. Atma Vena Nisheshena Kritam Atmani Mana. So that is, that stage has come to him because of his excellent inquiry of the self within, and mind has completely withdrawn and it has turned its whole attraction. Instead of the world, it started getting attracted by the Atma inside. Mind is a force. It gets attracted by the world, it becomes mind. And the same force, if it gets attracted by the soul, and if it's turned around inside, start going further and further, probing, inquiring there, then it is, Krishna calls it as Atma Vinigraham. See that word? Second word, Maunam, Atma Vinigraham. So, then the third word Krishna is using is Bhava Samshuddhi. See that word? Bhava Samshuddhi. Bhava Samshuddhi Rityedal Tapo Manasamuchyare. What is Bhava Samshuddhi means? The greatest impurity inside us is Ahangaram, false ego. That's our greatest impurity. Bhava Samshuddhi means, when this greatest impurity, of all the impurity, we have so many impurities inside, out of that, the biggest one is this Ahangaram. So, when that Ahangaram completely goes away from inside, that is called Bhava Samshuddhi. Bhava Samshuddhi means that Ahangaram has completely gone away. Completely gone away. Just like you can see sometimes some old cars, when they run, through the exhaust pipe, the fumes will come out. Isn't it? Through the exhaust pipe, the fumes will come out. Similarly, this pride inside, ego inside, that is our the smoke that's coming out, or the petrol fumes that comes out, is this Abhimanam from inside. And if it is gone, that Abhimanam pride is gone, then if the car is, just like the car, when there is no exhaust gases coming out, it is friendly, isn't it? Green. Friendly or what, hybrid, what do they call it? The free from all, you know, it get a higher, best, no pollution created by the car. Similarly, our pollution is this false ego inside. And it will keep on working, releasing this fumes in the form, and that fume is just our ego. It is playing its role. So, if it goes, stops completely, when this Abhimanam pride goes away, it's pollution free. It is pollution free. And there is no more pollution inside after that. And then Krishna is saying here, that is what we call it as Bhava Samshuddhi. Bhava Samshuddhi means that this Ahangaram completely has gone from inside. Completely gone from, completely from inside. Bhava Samshuddhi. This Bhavam, what we have got at the moment, is not Shuddham. It's not very pure, isn't it? So, through Krishna consciousness, through the holy, holy name, Bhakti, that's the process to purify that Ahangaram inside. And we'll realize that inside there is only Krishna inside. There is no separately me there. That Ahangaram Jiva has gone away from there, isn't it? So, in devotee's heart, there is only Krishna there. And those who are always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in their heart, except Krishna, nothing remains there, isn't it? So, where is Krishna inside? Krishna is inside us. Where is Krishna inside? In the appearance of Krishna. That is how it's spoken. When Krishna appeared in the Bhagavadam, how does Sri Brahmarshi says, Nishidhe tama ulbude jayamane janardane devakyam devarupinyam Vishnu sarvaguha ashaya avirasil yadha prachyam dishindu iva pushkala, in the 10th canto, 3rd chapter. You will see these verses. How Krishna appears, that darkness, and in that darkness Krishna appears. What does it all indicate to us? It's indicating to us that Krishna appears in everybody's heart. When will he appear? Nishide tama ulbude jayamane janardane. That darkness which is inside in the form of this ahangaram, false ego, when he disappears totally, Krishna appears from within the heart. That is Krishna's appearance in the Bhagavadam spoken like that. Vishnu sarva guhashaya. Look at the words Sukha Brahmarshi has used. While talking about Krishna, appearance of Krishna itself, he uses this word, Krishna, who is present in everybody's heart, he says. Why did he say that? For this reason only. To indicate to us, till this ahangaram goes away from inside, Vishnu cannot appear there. He cannot, he won't appear. So therefore he says, Nishide tama ulbude jayamane janardane devakyam devarubinyam Vishnu sarvaguhashaya. Sarvaguhashaya. That means this is that guha, the cave, everyone's heart. In everybody's heart, he is present there and he will appear there. When that purification happens, when the Abhimanam pride has gone away from inside. So, that is where Vishnu is taking birth. Vishnu is taking birth. Sarva Guhashaya, who is present in everyone's heart. That means in the Bhagavadam, when appearance was spoken about Krishna, it is mentioned, Nishide tamo idbude jayamane janardane devakyam devarubinyam Vishnu sarva guhashaya avirasil yatha prachyam dishi induriva pushkala. Avirasil yatha prachyam dishi induriva pushkala. Just like the moon appears in the eastern horizon, in the similar way, Krishna can appear in the darkness of our cave, which is full of now, filled with all the rubbish. So, tama asil tamasa gudamagre, Upanishad says. So, that means, darkness is covering the darkness. It's covering the darkness. Vedam says, that means to such an extent, ajnanam, avidya is inside us. Isn't it? Once that has gone away, that ajnanam, avidya has gone away, Krishna will appear like the moon from within, in the heart. From within the heart. And when Krishna appears like that, that bhavam, that is what Krishna is saying here, bhava samshuddhi. Bhava samshuddhi or mahabhavam, they say like that. That time, what you experience Krishna at that time, from within the heart, like it happened to Devaki, isn't it? Devaki, what happened to Devaki Devi's case? Devaki Devi and Vasudeva are sitting next to each other in the prison. Suddenly, Vasudeva says to Devaki Devi, all my fear and anxiety has gone. I am feeling extremely happiness inside. Devaki Devi says, I am not feeling. Vasudeva says, I am feeling. Because why Krishna entered into Vasudeva's heart? That Bhava Samshuddhi has happened to him. So while speaking like this, Krishna entered from Vasudeva's heart to Devaki's heart. And Devaki also started experiencing that at that time. So it's not a seminal birth like the way it happened to the conditioned souls. It's a different kind of birth. It has happened to her. This is how Devaki's pregnancy is different. It's not like our material life, isn't it? So that experience is called Mahabhavam. Which one? Krishna says here this word? Bhava Samshiddhi Rityedal. It's called Mahabhavam. Mahabhavam means always experiencing the presence of Krishna inside the heart. Antaryam is presence inside. Krishna is always there. You are fully conscious of that all the time. That's what happened to Radharani. Radharani's case is like that, isn't it? Radharani is called because of this Mahabhavam. She is called. So, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, always in that state of Mahabhavam. And there are many, many others also. In spiritual life, there are so many traditions. Many, many great devotees who are always in that Mahabhavam. All in that Mahabhavam. That means many people had that bhavasthiti, bhava state, isn't it? Completely or fulfilling inside with love for Krishna, premam, with Krishna's love. So, in other words, inside abhimanam, that ego, completely wiping it out with love for Krishna. Both are emotions, isn't it? One is emotion due to ahangaram. The other one is emotion due to love for Krishna. So these personalities, Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all, what they have done is that ahangaram has completely gone inside and totally that is filled with love, attachment for Krishna, and that is what God, Krishna calls it as bhava samshuddhi. Bhava samshuddhi, ityedal, isn't it? So what you have to remember here is, it's not a concept. It's not a concept. Yeah. So because it is, otherwise it will become a concept. Concept is something what you do with your intelligence. No, instead it has become that. Completely ego has gone from inside and instead there is only love there for attachment for Krishna. Therefore, sarvabhuda suhrudal. That means sarvabhuda. Well, pure devotees, all great devotees are in that state, isn't it? Sarvabhudeshu yapashyel bhagaval bhavam. That is that, bhava samshuddhi. Bhagaval bhavam atmana. Bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. Isn't it? So, bhava samshuddhi means their heart is pure. Their heart is pure. same thing, when Ramachandra saw Hanuman, Ramachandra said this about Hanuman, isn't it? And if somebody wants to kill him, and if you have pulled the sword out, he says the sword will drop from that person's hand. That is that purity of that personality, Anjaneya Swami's personality. Bhava samshuddhi ityeda tapo manasam uchyare, Krishna saying. So that bhava samshuddhi means to become like small children. Become like small children. They have bhava samshuddhi. You see, they don't have any kind of ragadvesham, any hate towards others. They've forgotten everything, isn't it? It's happening in them, but it's not affecting them. You can observe that in the small children. They are, that is why we say that in the 24 spiritual masters, one of them is a child. Have you noticed that? And Kurada Arbhagaha, Arbhaga. Arbhaga means little child. And what did Dattatreya Maharshi learn from him? He says, I learned this. I should be like him, he says. I should be like that baby, that little boy. He said, he is playing on the roadside and our Dattatreya Maharshi is going that way. And he noticed one thing, that he was playing and when he had enough of it, he left everything and went away to the house to sleep, to take rest, go to take food, whatever it is. So that attitude, no attachment anywhere. Children have no attachment. You can see when you buy them toys and all that. They will play with it sometime. After that, they won't. They will break it to pieces and throw it away. Or initially, they will ask, oh, this is mine and all. They will say like that. But in reality, they don't have that attachment inside. So that is what Krishna is saying. That in relationship with that, they call relationship with these babies, it is spoken that they have no attachment, so therefore they have been addressed in this way. They have been addressed in this way. What Dattatreya says, Varteya tektamanam sukhamadi shishuval nisahayas chareyam. Varteya tektamanam sukhamadi shishuval nisahayas chareyam. Dattatreya Maharshi is saying, I want to be like that children, able to run around in this world. Two things there. Nisahayas chareyam. A child is always helpless, isn't it? Dependent on the father or mother to protect the child. But he doesn't feel any pressure or tension because he knows the parents will look after me. When he has a total guarantee from the parents, that the parents will look after me. And therefore, he is so dependent on the parents for his living and therefore he moves around in this world freely. Nisahayas chareyam. He is helpless. On his own, he is helpless. And he will move around in this world. Kanyaya mega shesho valaya iva vibho varjida nyanya ghosham tochito nava buddhyaihi paramishukriti vach amrudayana ghosham geheshu anya pranideshu ahirya nivasa indiror mandireshu. All the other spiritual masters which Dattatreya Maharshi was talking about the 24, he's saying, I have learned from all these things, from different things. But from this child I learned this important thing, I must be like him, like this child. Like that way, just like the child has got dependence on the parents and feeling sheltered and protected by the parents and able to move around in this world freely, he doesn't think anything, after effect of anything, and he lives in this world. Similarly, under your shelter, the Dattatreya Maharshi is saying, under Krishna's shelter, I should be able to live in this world. Not under the shelter of the money, friends, family and society. This is an important lesson to learn. Vartaya tektamanam sukham charanam nisahayas chareyam. And like the small children, and that is the glory of the great personalities. Many, many great personalities, if you look, you will see this quality in them. That they are not dependent on anybody, but they are always dependent on Krishna. Bhava samshuddhi. So, and you can observe this, and it is seeing their bhava samshuddhi, that is what makes us to worship them. This bhava samshuddhi. So this knowledge, it's not their knowledge. It's not the books what they are studying. That's not that makes it happen. Only this bhava samshuddhi. That's what makes us to surrender and to take their association, take their shelter. That is the driving factor behind it. All other things are siddhis. For example, knowledge of the shastram or other realizations what you may have. That's all siddhis. That will come due to your effort. But this bhava samshuddhi won't happen like that. Bhava samshuddhi, if you translate into English, it's called saintliness. That saintly nature of a person or transparency in a person. Krishna says, bhava samshuddhi ityedam. Isn't it? Bhava samshuddhi ityedam tapo manasam uchyade. So Krishna has spoken about three kinds of austerities, tapasya, in the sattugunam. In sattugunam, three kinds of austerities, all the three, with the body, with the words, and now with the mind. and this thing, this austerity, what's happening in the body, in the mind, and in the words, this is not there in the Rajogunam and Tamogunam. It's only in the Sattogunam. So we look at it tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Jaya Jaya Prabhu Ki Jaya.